Good afternoon. I'm Ryan Baker. A massive game for the Columbus Blue Jackets tonight up in Detroit against the Red Wings. The CBJ and the Wings are tied with 88 points, 2 points out of a playoff spot. As promised, Rick Bowness with a massive shakeup to the lines this evening as they try to snap that six-game losing streak. Pre-game coverage on The Fan begins at 6:30. Puck drop is at 7. The Cleveland Guardians game with the Kansas City Royals has been moved up to 1:10 this afternoon due to expected cold temperatures tonight in Cleveland. Gavin Williams gets the ball opposite Noah Cameron. The Cincinnati Reds in Miami to face the Marlins at 6:40. Andrew Abbott makes his third start of the season. Sandy Alcantara for the Marlins. Coverage on The Fan's HD3 begins at 6:10. Over on The Fan 2 at 5:55, the Ohio State baseball team taking on Bowling Green. This one's sponsored by Metal Supermarkets, your convenience store for metal. Visit Columbus at metalsupermarkets.com or 2180 Wilson Road for all your metal needs.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
All right, here we go. Rando Tuesday style. Rothman and Ice, Anthony Rothman, Matty Ice Hayes. And the man behind the glass is TLC. Boys, good to see you.
What up, what up? It is good to see you as well, man. How you feeling today? All good?
Eh, you know, I got off to a rough week.
Wait, talk to me. What's going on?
No, I just, you know, a little tired already.
Oh.
Like, I'm already tired. It's only Tuesday.
Like, so nothing really negative has happened,
no, and that
so
game,
to speak. You're just tired.
The game took off at 8:50-ish, so even earlier than in years past what I remember. Maybe they slid it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, I remember that thing tipping off years ago at like 9:20 or something. And then, you know, back in the day, the one shining moment, and my brother sent it to me today, because the very first one shining moment was actually Indiana's 1987 championship when they beat Syracuse. And that was the very first one shining moment. And I watched it this morning and, you know, it was the original song, the very first one, and it was very good, brought back a lot of memories. And so last night I'm watching the game. And they're doing about 8 different post games with commercials. And then Ernie Johnson is up there interviewing anybody that he can find. And he was interviewing Lindenberg and he asked him, like, I think he said, like, I imagine nothing was going to keep you from playing in this game tonight. And I'm thinking, he came back to play in the Final Four game. It's not like he left the semis and then we were wondering. He played. He came back. And then there's another commercial, and then they're doing even more. And now it's 11:50-ish.
Okay.
And now I'm waiting on one shining moment. And they hit commercial. You know what I said? Screw it.
I'm out.
I'm out.
Yeah.
I'll DVR it, or maybe I'll catch it online somewhere. But they've now officially iced me out.
Okay.
I used to stay up. It's very nostalgic for me. I love the song. I love the music. There's still some amateur feel to it. And I forget for a while that it's not all about the money.
That you're watching pros?
Yeah, and that, like, what's Lindenberg making for Michigan? $2 million this year? All right, so that's great, and we'll talk about it. You know, every one of their starters was a transfer. This is the era. They found a way to do it. They've got the money to do it, and they've got the coach that is the straw that stirs the drink because he's still got to create the chemistry and the coaching and get him to the finish line, and he did. But I checked out. It's one of the first years I didn't see it all the way through because back in the day, they used to do like one big commercial. I think they cut the nets. I can't remember whether they cut the nets down before or after one shiny moment like decades ago. And then they used to play Matty this real like sappy version that I really liked, like an instrumental when they were cutting down the nets. There was like almost like a sad ending.
Pitch in the feels right
now. Yeah,
in the heart
it really
right
did.
There.
It was different than One Shiny Moment. One Shiny Moment's like kind of invigorating, but they used to play a sappy instrumental. TLC's a finder of things, but this would be something like maybe way back late 80s, early 90s, where the ladder and then they'd have the credits. They'd have the credits roll to this great instrumental. And it used to be like, oh, wow, sports, so great. And now I'm going to bed before one shiny moment. They finally got me.
So here's...
They commercialized me out.
So you're a little tired right now is what you're saying.
Yada, yada,
here's
yada.
Here's what I think
today
may be an important question at the presser. Did you go to bed immediately after skipping one shining moment, or did you hop in bed and put on a movie? And were you up?
No, no.
Okay.
There were no movies. I'll give you a peek behind the curtain a little bit. I'm kind of back in online poker.
Okay. So what time did you shut everything down then, officially?
I mean, it was in the midnight hour somewhere. I just can't remember. It didn't go past 1 a.m.
Okay.
It didn't.
So instead of doom scrolling like TLC, you'll play online poker or watch, YouTube videos.
Yeah.
You're a big YouTube guy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Scroll it up. My algorithm is spitting out either...
What is in your algorithm right now?
Golf lessons online. Whatever rando's trying to help me shallow the club or this or whatever.
Yeah.
And then a lot of body cam. A lot of body cam stuff. Retail theft. Things like that. People getting caught.
Okay.
And that kind of stuff.
I think maybe in the next life, you're going to come back as some type of enforcer in law enforcement. There's something there for you that I think you
like. Why in the next life? Well, why can't I just go into... what is that? Loss retention, or what do they call the loss prevention? Maybe when I retire, I just find some retail store that'll get me in front of my command center, and I'll have there's a joystick, and you can zoom in on people shopping. Maybe that's it for me.
You already police our parking lot, so you're doing a good job with that.
That's erroneous. Now, I never started that.
Dom says you're only a dog policeman, so you don't count.
I never started. You know this better than anybody. He started that and made it. He acted like he wasn't the one. That's his gift.
Yeah, he's putting you and Michael Behrens on the WrestleMania card.
That's his gift.
That's what he's trying to do.
He's the Dom King of the station here, because all he wants to do is promote other bouts that he has interest in fighting, but he won't get in the ring.
Oh, now that's a tremendous reference. There you go.
Okay.
So yeah, and then he sets it up to where, I didn't know if you and Behrens started like a fake beef and then he made it real or what that was, but
no.
I know that he definitely poured a gallon of gasoline on that fire.
Yeah, he's afraid though to go up to certain people that violate, I've noticed.
Oh, who is that?
I'm just not
name
gonna
names.
Nope.
Rolanda Harris.
No, I'm not going to name anybody. I'm just saying
common man.
He's in that. He's in some other areas of, if somebody else is going inching over the no parking sign.
Interesting.
We got guys that park under the caution tape. I don't think nothing said to them.
That's Tim May.
Oh, that's Tim May.
That's Tim May. That's Tim May. That's a Tim May special.
But anyway, I was, I watched it, and
credit, though.
The last four games, Michigan held their opponents.
You got to give me credit.
To their lowest season field goal percentage.
I like how we jump on things.
Bama, 36%. Tennessee, 32%. Arizona, 37%. UConn, 31%.
Julian saying, James Peoples,
this is
C.J. Donaldson.
This is ruining my
Joe
entire...
Jackson, Kenyatta Jackson.
This is the ghost of Tim May.
My goodness.
I love that you brought that up.
They're
just a force. And I'm glad you started with the defense, because there's been so much made of how good they've been offensively and how offensively potent they can be in any given game and have been all year long. I mean, the game last night was very clunky for me. It wasn't the most enjoyable watch. I mean, you're talking the teams combined to shoot 34% from the field. I mean, it's tied for the second lowest in any national championship game. But you just zoom out and look at this body of work for Michigan this year, and it's eye-opening. It really is eye-opening. And the transfer portal additions, right? We can talk about the money that they had to spend, and that is real. That's absolutely real. There's no denying it, but it's the identifying of the talent, too, and nailing those guys as well, because we've seen at certain programs, whether it's football, basketball, you can have the money, and you swing and miss. They didn't swing and miss at all. When you look at their starting five and the guys that have been out there night in and night out for them, they were all home runs, all of them. And so that, to me, is what's really, really impressive outside of what they were putting out there on the floor, was their ability to identify the talent and just crush it in that way.
So this is a little bit of an outlier, not in that they weren't great, because they were. But what this tournament has turned into for a lot of teams is the team that hits the most threes is the team to be really worried about, dangerous. And last night, Michigan was up 4 at half, and they were 0 for 8 on threes. So they were getting everything inside, and they were playing good enough defense. UConn kept themselves in the game because they were physical, and they hit some threes. So they offset that with physicality and hitting some outside shots, and they kept themselves in the game. And Dan Hurley's really good at working the refs, and he was trying, and it wasn't working because it was one of those things that he did a interview with Tracy Wolfson, I think, early in the game when they were leading. I think UConn was up 18-17. And Michigan started out pretty strong, and they were down because they were missing everything they were putting up from the outside. And she asked him, he's like, we're dragging them into the only way we can win this game. Like, he said this to her during the game. Like, he admitted, basically, we're going to just throw everything we can. We're going to use every foul I have to use. We're going to get physical. We're going to try to knock them off their game and then hope that the refs don't call every single one of them, which they called a lot of them. And I know a lot of people on Twitter that were anti-Michigan were like, oh, this game is being refed one-sided and all that. They were fouling. I don't know what you want to say. I mean, both teams were physical, but UConn was fouling because that was their strategy to try to be really physical with them. And maybe in another game, they may have gotten away with more than they did. But the other important thing for UConn was they did not win the first 5 minutes of the second half. They needed to do that. Now, they didn't get smoked either. It was kind of a wash. But they were chasing that game because they didn't win the first 5 minutes of the second half. And then it was an uphill climb, and they almost got there. They really did. When Roddy Gale missed both free throws with 30 seconds to go up four, I almost thought, we're heading for another Duke ending here. Like, if they don't, and they were great at the free throw line, yeah, which is odd because he had a great block in the game. And Roddy Gale, the former Buckeye, gets a title. Like, he left and got what he wanted. And so, but when he missed those two free throws and Caravan's coming down and Caravan's launching to get him within one, if he makes that, now all of a sudden Michigan is like, we're up 11 with 5 minutes to go, and now we're up a point. Like, that would have been real. And so these games come down to that situation in crunch time. Who's going to make that shot? Mm-hmm. And Caravan misses. McKinney made both of his free throws,
yeah,
and then he salted it away. But
McKinney hit that big three, yeah, too, with about a couple minutes left go in the game as well. And so much has been made of, you know, the transfers that they got. I mean, that's a local guy. That's a local prospect for Michigan that stepped up big in a big-time moment. And so, yeah, Dusty May, just the train is off and running, and I don't know if this is going to slow down anytime soon. We shall see. I mean, the dude's got 64 wins in his first 2 years up there in Ann Arbor. It's absolutely crazy. I mean, that's the most for any coach in his first two seasons since Calipari did it over there in Kentucky back in 09 and 11. And so that's what we're looking at here. And again, it's just credit to this era that we're all living in sports right now, to where you can have an elite coach, which they have in Dusty May, because we saw what he did with FAU and taking them to the Final Four. And it's the perfect combination of, you have the coach with the X and O's and you have the money to spend. And also, too, I don't think the Jordan Brand stuff doesn't hurt either. That doesn't hurt either as far as the appeal and the gear and all the stuff you can throw at these kids, too, because I'm sure they like rocking all that.
So this used to be a negative when you'd say this title was bought and paid for. Now it's, you're doing good business. And I think that's what happened last night. We'll examine that when we come back. How much did it cost them? And we'll continue our conversation a little bit from yesterday on this last layer of pressure on Ohio State basketball. Was it applied last night? That's next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
The sound of Paul Keels calling a Buckeye game is erotic.
Oh, yes.
Your home of the Buckeyes, the Fan, Ohio sports destination.
The new Omaha State.
Your favorite fan shows are available as a podcast. What a concept. And don't miss exclusive podcast content like Austin and Burn. Listen on your schedule from anywhere in the world. Available wherever you get your podcasts. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Plenty of sunshine today, but you'll need that jacket. Highs only getting into the mid to upper 40s across central Ohio. And then for tonight, clear skies with lows into the 20s. Widespread frost develops overnight into Wednesday morning, otherwise turning sunny with daytime highs milder, getting into the mid to low 60s. I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo for The Fan with the 10 weather impact forecast.
Just when you thought afternoons couldn't get any dumber.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you?
Common Man and Timmy.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
Your home for dumb. The Fan. Anthony finally hit a hole in one.
It's in the hole.
So now what? Just bask in the glory?
And that's how she wrote.
You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
Michigan wins the first national title in hoops since 89. Wow. First one for the Big Ten since 2000. So they end the drought. And if you start poking around on the internet, you probably can find a little bit of the NIL stuff, whether you really truly believe it or not. Front Office Sports, and we've had and Ben Axelrod on from Front Office Sports, and the Wolverines roster, if you believe it, cost them about $10 million. So it's one of the most expensive ones in college hoops. Kentucky spent probably double that, and look what happened to them. But so the $10 million schools are probably Duke. I mean, the teams that made a run, St. John's, Duke, Houston.
I wouldn't be surprised if UConn's in that tier, too.
Yeah, I don't.
Somewhere in their tier.
They probably should be, because they can go all in on basketball.
Yeah.
And so what did they get for Kentucky? Reportedly was like $22 million.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. On Three was reporting that. I don't know how they know or how they get it leaked, but it's out there.
So you're telling me they almost, well, they did double and then some.
Yeah.
What Michigan paid. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay.
Now,
if that's true. That's true.
So they got Yaxel Lendeborg, who won Big Ten Player of the Year, and he was
the number one player in the portal, according to a lot of different publications. He was the guy everyone was covering.
And certainly all their guys, Cadeau and every one of their guys came through the transfer portal. So he was where, UAB?
I believe so,
So it's not like he came from a massive school, but he came from, you know, UAB's made some noise before in the tournament. But anyway.
Are they the Blazers? What are they?
Yeah, the Blazers.
Like a dragon
they've
logo?
They've got a great logo. They played here in Columbus about 15 years ago, I think, in the tournament and won. Yeah. And I remember saying, I need some of that gear. It's pretty strong.
Yeah, it's a good look.
So they landed Elliot Cadeau. He was the, as they call it, the MOP, the most outstanding player from Carolina. And Adai Mara, the big fella, came from UCLA. And Morris Johnson Jr., who I talked about yesterday, that I'm sure Ohio State would love to have had but probably couldn't afford, was from Illinois. And so that rounds out Michigan's transfer class, which was right behind St. John's. It was right there. Now, on paper, it's different than playing out in real life. They also had the number 11 recruiting class. Trey McKinney, who we just talked about, was a four-star kid. And so they have this talent coming through, and they paired it with and the trick is to try to catch lightning in a bottle with all this talent and have these guys feel like it isn't all about the money or that there's some entitlement to, because they read this stuff and they know how much money everybody's getting paid. So they may assume that they're supposed to win, like Kentucky may have. But none of those teams that spent like Michigan spent, some of them had some better seasons, but not like this. Kentucky was 22-14, second round exit. That's not what they paid for. Texas paid. They snuck into the tournament with the first four win and made a little noise, lost in the Sweet 16. And Arkansas was a big spender, and they made the Sweet 16, lost to Arizona. Here's Dusty May on why he thought that this could be the turnaround. It could happen real quick at Michigan.
Living in Ypsilanti when I was a young assistant in Eastern Michigan, I wasn't that familiar with Michigan other than 89 and being a fan of the game. And just the feelings that people had, the pride they had in their university, I just thought that was really, really cool. We thought it was a great time to get back to the Midwest. We were at a stage in our life or we were empty nesters and just wanted something different. And then just felt like Michigan was a place, ultimately, with the changing landscape, that we could retain really good players, even if it wasn't going great for them. It was going to be hard to leave. And even Terrace is a great example. He had options to go anywhere in the country, and it was difficult for him, based on my conversations, it was difficult for him to leave the University of Michigan and the relationships that he had made and all the people that poured into him. So I just felt like that's the type of place that I'd love to coach at.
Amazing that the main guy for UConn was a guy that played for Michigan. And now he's on the other side. He probably got paid a lot of money. What's he thinking now, like years from now, when you look back at it, what maybe he could have been a part of?
Still a good run for him, obviously, but just falling that short, right? And knowing that, hey, I was a part of that huddle and a part of that team's got to be a little bit of a bitter pill to swallow. I liken the amount of NIL money you have. Let's say you have a whole bunch to a GM that has a whole bunch of draft picks, right? There's going to be teams in the next couple weeks that we're going to be talking about that have so much draft capital going into the NFL draft. It's not an automatic pathway to success. It's not, because as you laid out, a lot of basketball programs have spent a lot of coin. A lot of coin and fell short of probably what those collectives and those big spenders thought the expectation was when they handed over those type of checks. And so that's why I just think it's so important, especially now for Ohio State. And I know we'll talk to Adam Jardy at 2:30 today, to where they're looking at a situation to their roster's bare right now, right? There's a lot of guys that have gone into the portal, and I'm excited to see what they can do this time around in the NIL world, in that space, if Diebler and his staff are going to have the ability to swing as big as I'm sure that they want to swing. But that's not an automatic. And for Michigan, that to me is impressive, right? Like the chemistry and guys coming in from the other programs that you mentioned that knew that they were going to be a piece of something special, may not always get what they wanted. So they had the buy-in and the ability as well to go and buy players. And it led to what we saw this year, which was those guys just cooking all season.
This should add another layer. I said it yesterday. I really believe it. I don't know if it's going to work. I don't. Michigan's the only school that's won in both big sports since 2020. The only one. They got one in football and they got one in basketball. You don't have to have it the same year. You just have to feel like that you're in the mix. And Ohio State certainly got in. That was good. They went down to the wire. Down 15 and a half didn't help, but they climbed back. And I know it's the big what if. The what if is if they come out on the right side of that and get a shot at Duke, and no matter what happens, you feel a little bit more like, okay, they maxed out this year. They do have more dollars, if you want to believe it. They do. How much more, I don't know, because they were not in the mix for Morez Jr. They weren't. They couldn't be. They would go and say, okay, we'll take Brandon Knoll. Like, they are not swinging that big. Now we'll see if they can. And with Royal leaving, I don't know how much they felt they would have had to give Royal to retain him, but I'm sure they feel like, all right, now the most important thing is, since we're not retaining him, that they have to make that money work really well for them. Because, and if they're in on somebody, you mentioned Jardy, if they're in on a really good transfer point guard, which they should be, mm-hmm. I'll ask him about this at 2:30. If you get a starting center and a veteran point guard, now you feel like you can put a team together. I'm sure that Devin thought, I've been in the program for a few years. Royal, I've got this. I have this coming to me. Bruce is gone. I'm the local kid. I've invested in this program. Where's mine? And they probably had to make some very tough decisions.
Here's the tough part, I think, for the Ohio State basketball program right now. As like you said, we don't know the financial part and all that. There's a lot of reports that are out there. But even if you do have the money to spend, what you're competing against, I think, are these brands now in the Big Ten that are really, really good basketball programs and the coaches, right? So you've got Dusty May in Michigan. You've got Izzo in Sparty, Underwood in Illinois. We know what's going on with Painter and Purdue. And so that's the other part as well, is how do you sell now to these guys that you need to come here, because those programs are coming to the table too, with good money to spend as well. So that's another part of this uphill climb, I think, right now for Diebler as well, is that, well, yes, hey, maybe my pockets are a little bit bigger than what they were before. Now you've got to sell your program in a way to say, hey, this is why you should come here and not go to East Lansing or Ann Arbor or whatever it may be, too. So I think that's going to be a challenge, or can be a challenge, too, and probably has already been the case.
Yeah. And it's not like Ohio State's in the basement. I mean, Ohio State finished eighth in the Big Ten this year.
A solid year, man.
And think about what those teams did in the tournament. Michigan, Illinois, Purdue, Michigan State, Wisconsin got upset. UCLA made a minor move. Like, every team above them in the standings this year made the tournament and did something outside mm-hmm. of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
So, if anything, you could say Wisconsin was the one that should be like, wow. Wisconsin got the ultimate wake-up call on, yes, the rest of the season puts you in position for March. What you do in March matters. And they flunked it.
Yeah.
And Ohio State went into that tournament thinking that they weren't satisfied, yet they needed to probably gain some momentum. But I'm here to tell you, I think momentum is year to year now. I don't think there's a lot of carryover. There can be when you have, like, I'll tell you where the momentum is. It's knowing what Bynum might turn into. It's knowing how Junie may mature even more and be better. that's the momentum. And then the momentum continues with who did you get in the portal? And now they'll feel like maybe they are building something.
And the addition of Thompson, right? Yep. And McDonald's All-American.
Absolutely.
And having those come to the forefront, those guys step up as well, right? So I think you want, obviously, just a healthy balance of both. So hopefully that'll be the case, because I know there's a lot of excitement around what Thompson can be and the juice that he can provide. And that those type of guys come into your program as high school prospects and they show promise in development, then you've got a really good thing going as well with the traditional, if you will, way of recruiting and having guys say, yeah, I'm going to come to Ohio State because another McDonald's All-American went there and did well.
All right, we'll come back in 2 minutes and we'll switch to Buckeye football with our friend Dave Biddle. Who has impressed this spring? He'll put a stamp on that next. Rothman and Ice.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
True to his name, Matty Ice wears a winter coat in the middle of summer. He lives the gimmick, man. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
All right, spring has sprung. Ohio State, in the midst of all their practices, we're heading towards a spring game. Not far off. And our guy, Dave Biddle, editor of Bucknuts, host of On the Money, and a lot more with us now, courtesy of the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. My friend, how you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Always good to join you guys.
Thanks, my brother. All right. So there's always a fine line between kind of waiting to see and then also how much stock do we put in it. But what do you believe has been very real this spring for Ohio State that maybe you weren't anticipating? I'm talking about maybe some people who have impressed, where you can kind of read into it a little bit.
Yeah, like it's, as we all know, I mean, the roster turnover is crazy, right, with like 51 new guys. And then in addition to that, like, you know, several new coaches. But yeah, I mean, I've been paying close attention to the transfers. They had 18 total transfers, and 16 of them are already here. The only two that are not here, Deshaun Washington, the offensive lineman from Dartmouth, originally from Springfield, and then, the walk-on kicker they're getting from Notre Dame to be the kickoff specialist. So the other 16 guys are here. James Smith was the highest-ranked member of the transfer class, and he's lived up to the billing. And I think that's huge for Ohio State because he can also play the one tech, which he did not do at Alabama, and that would enable Ohio State to get James Smith and Edric Huso on the field at the same time. And other guys are showing out, like Earl Little Jr., Quay Rousseau. I expected more out of Terry Moore, and I still think he's going to be a good player for the Buckeyes this year. He's coming off that torn ACL, missed all of last year. I tell you guys, Dominic Kelly, who came in from Georgia, who's a corner, he looks good out there. I thought he might be a depth piece this year. He's going to play a lot. So, you know, short story long, Anthony and Maddie, I think this transfer class, Christian Allegra is another, Jacoby Jackson, we could go on and on. Overall, I think this Devin McEwen, this transfer class is very solid. Does it have the star power of like Caleb Downs and Quinshon Judkins? Of course not. But I think, man, they did a good job in the portal.
All right, let's get into this wide receiver room because there's a lot of buzz right now out there in the streets about one Brock Boyd and how he is looking right now. We know what Jeremiah is going to provide. And I think we all feel pretty good about what Chris Henry is going to do, but I don't think this was on a lot of the bingo cards, Biz, is Brock Boyd right now popping off the way that he has. So just talk about what you've seen from him and maybe what role you think he can carve out in year number one here.
Yeah, he looks a lot like Anthony Gonzalez out there wearing that number 11. You know, he's tough. I mean, and he's probably more athletic than he gets credit for, but he's got some speed, he's got quickness, but he just catches everything. He's tough. You talk to his teammates and his coaches, they all talk about his football IQ, his dad's a coach. And it's one of those things where, like, he wasn't one of these kids that went to a lot of, like, camps, the 7-on-7 camps in the summer, you know? So he was extremely underrated. Like, he was ranked as the number 100 wide receiver in the country in the 2026 class. I'm of the opinion of Brian Hartline, because Brian Hartline was the one that recruited him. This is like Hartline's final gift to Ohio State. If Brian Hartline wants you, you're like automatically should be a 4-star, right? Like if he's the best in the business. So if somehow Brock Boyd was a 3-star, ranked 100th in the country, and like 626 overall, regardless of position in the country. And as you guys know, he played at a powerhouse program in Texas, put up monster stats. Now, is he gonna have a huge role this year as a true freshman? I don't think so because, you know, obviously JJ and Brandon Ennis, Devin McEwen looks really good. They're all going to play, and they're going to get the ball to tight ends as well, running backs. But I do think he's going to play like way more than anybody expected as a true freshman. And down the road, probably as early as next year, I think he's going to be a big-time player for Ohio State.
Dave, does anything happen this spring in the running back room that could, I don't know, affect things a lot this fall?
It's interesting because I think when it all shakes out, this will be a better running back room than what they had last year. Like right now, it's like a mash unit in there. Hopefully they'll get Legend Bay back. I think it's interesting that, you know, anytime Ryan Day is asked about, you know, the offense in general, he doesn't even have to be asked about the running back room. He will bring up Legend Bay. He'll be like, yeah, well, hopefully we get Legend back. He can add some explosive runs. But yeah, I mean, I think when we look at it, guys, like the running back room is going to be better than it was last year. Cause like Bo Jackson as a sophomore, this is just, you know, in theory, this doesn't mean this is like, you know, set in stone. Bo Jackson as a sophomore in theory would be better than Bo Jackson as a true freshman. And he was good, very good as a true freshman. Isaiah West, same deal. You know, I think Jacoby Jackson, the seventh year senior transfer from Florida, he looks really good. I think he'll be an upgrade over what CJ Donaldson was last year. And in my opinion, I'd rather have true freshman Legend Bay than James Peoples, who's a solid back, and he's going to do well at Penn State. You know, and they got other guys like Turbo Rogers. They got true freshman Favor Aki. So I think when you look at it, I think, you know, if you're Ryan Day, you're looking at it right now, and you've got like two running backs out there. You've got like Jacoby Jackson, and you've got Favor Aki, and nobody else. And I get it, like that it's a concern right now. And you've got a couple, you know, you got three offensive linemen out with Austin Saraville being out, with Phillip Daniels being out, and Josh Padilla out. So, yeah, Anthony, you know, as our guy Jim Tressel loved to say, man, you can't win the national championship in spring, but you sure can lose it. But I think when the dust settles, Ohio State's going to have a better running back room than what they had last year.
So I've been fascinated, Bids, by this collaboration between Arthur Smith and Ryan Day and what they want to do and what they want the offense to look like on Saturdays this year. And so just hearing from both these guys over the last few weeks and the winter and all that stuff, Bids, like, what's your understanding of this collaboration and it's how it's coming together?
You know, I just have a really good feeling about it. You know, like they're keeping it close to the vest as far as what the tweaks are going to be. But, you know, Coach Day talked about this yesterday. He said he really likes some of the creativity and some of the new formations that Arthur, you know, Art introduces himself as Art, so I call him Art. But no, yeah, as Arthur Smith is, and then we knew this, Maddie and Anthony, as you guys know, like he wasn't going to come in here and like reinvent the wheel and this is going to be Arthur Smith's offense. It was going to be the Ryan Day Ohio State offense with Arthur Smith's fingerprints all over it. He was going to make several tweaks, and we don't know what those will be yet, but like I think Buckeye fans are going to love Arthur Smith. I get a similar feeling of Matt Patricia last year. There were some questions because people, you know, the NFL situation and everything, you know, head coach of the Lions. And even after that, he kind of like bounced around a little bit, had some kind of weird jobs and then was out of football for a year. Not the same thing with Arthur Smith, but I think it was a home run hire. And I think he's going to help the running game. I think he's going to help the offensive line. And Ohio State has like the, I think this is huge and probably an unreported story. Ohio State has the most experienced returning offensive line in the country. They have 91 career starts returning on their offensive line. And, you know, Art Smith was an offensive lineman himself at North Carolina. He broke into the coaching profession as an offensive line coach. He was the offensive line coach with the Tennessee Titans before he became their OC, and then parlayed that into a NFL head coaching gig. Guys, I'll be shocked if we're not talking about, again, after the 2026 season, that Arthur Smith was a great hire. Now, might he be one and done? Very possible, because I think it's highly likely that Bill Belichick's going to probably not survive after this year at North Carolina, and Art Smith might be the head coach of North Carolina next year. But if it's like Chip Kelly 2 years ago and the Buckeyes won the national championship, Buckeye fans will take that all day.
No doubt. Dave Biddle with us talking Buckeye football this spring. You mentioned Dominic Kelly, the transfer from Georgia, but the corners are right there, Jermaine Matthews Jr. and Devin Sanchez. What kind of leap does Devin have to make this year in your mind, and will we see some battles in spring against the top line receivers at all?
It was interesting, Anthony, that when Ryan Day was asked about it yesterday, he said that no starting spots have been secured there at corner. You know, mm-hmm. He said, you know, I mean, that was very interesting. He's like, we got really good depth there. Now, I would bet your car that, or one of your cars, that Jermaine Matthews and Devin Sanchez absolutely will be the starting corners, but they do have good depth there. And you knew that those guys were probably going to be the starters, but then when you lose like a Bryce West, you lose an Aaron Skye, you're thinking, oh, maybe the depth's not going to be there. But then you bring in a Dominic Kelly. You know, Miles Lockhart didn't have a great scrimmage on Saturday, but also the Ohio State's receivers are pretty good, as you know. But he adds good depth. He's a third-year sophomore. Cam Calhoun, another guy they brought in, I think he'll probably be more of a special teams guy. He's really, really, really small. He's like 176 pounds on the roster. He looks smaller than that. But Dominic Kelly's been a very pleasant surprise. And the true freshmen, you know, like with Timmons and some of these guys and Thomas, they've got good depth there. Dominic Kelly's been the surprise for me. Coming from Georgia, was a true freshman last year. He's got 3 years of eligibility left. I thought he was like, okay, maybe, you know, he'll play special teams this year. And dude, he's out there wearing the number 24, looking like a bigger Sean. No, he's not going to be as good as Sean Springs. But, like, he's out there looking like a bigger Sean Springs on Saturday jumping routes. I was like, who is that? I'm like, oh, yeah, Dominic Kelly. So they've got good depth there. But to answer your question, Devin Sanchez played a ton last year and struggled at times, as you would as a true freshman playing corner. But that's huge for him to have over 300 snaps under his belt. I think Devin Sanchez, maybe not this year, but he's eventually going to be a superstar, I think, at Ohio State. Hopefully, if you're a Buckeye fan, it's going to be this year.
Well done, my man. Appreciate you very much. You know we'll talk soon.
Sounds good. Appreciate it, fellas.
Thanks, Bids. Dave Biddle with us, editor of Bucknuts, on the money here at the Fan on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. All right, we're going to come back, and the CBJ, desperation time, and the coach knows it, and he's reacting to it. We'll give you those details next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
All the 10 TV people come over to our side of the building to take a deuce. That should tell you something about how we operate. The Fan.
I met my wife. Com.
All your favorite fan shows are on YouTube. Along with those fake YouTube ads like Chew This Gum and It Grows New Teeth. Experience the splendor of Bo sitting in his closet. Timmy Hall's gaudy gold chains. And Matty Ice wearing a coat in 90-degree weather. It's all there. Head to YouTube and subscribe today. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. No one funks up the work microwave like these two. Fish again? You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
All righty. We've arrived.
To what exactly? Doomsday?
I think it's must win.
This is as must win as it gets.
Yeah, I feel like it.
Yeah.
I feel like not because you'd be mathematically eliminated, but you'd be feeling that heat.
Oh, yeah.
To me, it's you lose the effect of being able to say, all right, we played well, we just got to look to the next game, because there aren't enough left and you've had nothing to reinforce your feeling. Everybody needs results. I don't care whether you're a golfer or a hockey player, it doesn't matter. You need to see the ball go in the hole. They need a result no matter how they get it. I'd rather them play horribly tonight and win, honestly, because I think theirs is more built on trying to find some confidence in these last games to say we can do it. I know they can say it. They can tell each other that. And they keep doing it because that's what you, because the alternative is worse. We had this conversation when you were out last week, had it with Joshua about just because you're mad and throwing stuff and angry in the media and flipping tables doesn't make you any better. It doesn't. Anger is, it can work maybe in the moment at a time where you're playing the game.
Some guys can live off of that, right? Like a Draymond Green. He can day in and day out thrive off of that type of energy. Like, I think he honestly needs it, right? Some guys are the other way. Like RZ, we talk to him all the time for Hockey and Hounds. He doesn't need that. He's just going to go about there and handle his business. He's not a big rah-rah type of guy. And I'm not saying one way is right or one way is wrong. So I agree with you, right? Like, I think it's good to have those moments. I think it's good to shake the room, whether you're a coach, whether you're a captain. They had the players only meeting the other day, which is always a red flag, as we know in sports. When that happens, it's a clear sign that something in-house obviously isn't right. And the players feel like, hey, we respect what the coach has to say in his voice, but it needs to come from us. And hopefully there was some accountability there as well, because there's been some, in my opinion, some eye-opening comments from Rick about guys out there maybe doing their own thing every once in a while and not playing within the system and all those things, which is, to me, that shouldn't be happening ever, but especially right now when you got to come together as a team and figure this thing out. And so I think you bring up a really good point about you can say what you want about how you feel and the belief you have in yourself and teammates, But if you're somebody on Broadway, you can go through all the practice runs you want and feel good about those. But when that curtain opens and those bright lights are cranked up and you smell the popcorn and hear the buzz in the crowd, there's just a difference to actually doing it. You got to have the time on task. And so it's going to be interesting to see, obviously, what we can get from them. But there has to be, I don't care what they say, a little bit of doubt in their mind right now about what they're capable of, because they're not getting the returns that we just got from them over the last couple of months when we were talking about them winning, what was it, 20 of 27 or something like that. It's just not there right now. But that's the hard part of being an athlete, is that sometimes you're not going to have it, but you just got to find a way to push through and get some type of results.
Everything's magnified now. Everything they do, every little thing that leads to a mistake. When you're winning, you can not brush them off, but you don't have to focus on them.
Yeah.
You can focus on the positive. Now this is a team that's being forced to focus on the negative. They have to. They can't lean into the, well, let's just hope today's different. Now, I do think that having the 2 days off is going to help. They haven't had 2 days off since the early March. They haven't. And they're going into their next biggest game of the year. And it is, because they're playing Detroit on the road. And I think both teams are feeling the heat. This should be a very intense game tonight. And it's not like they're scoring a lot. I think, honestly, this game should, unless there's drastic mistakes or power plays or what have you, I mean, this game should probably be a 6-goal total or less. It probably feels like that.
3-2-er type of night, something like that?
4-2, yeah, maybe okay. An empty netter, yeah, at the end, something. He's changing the lines. He promised he'd do it. He's going to do it.
Good.
He's going to try to shake it up. He's putting this team in a snow globe, and he is shaking it up. Now, it doesn't mean that that's permanent. None of this is permanent. If they score in the first 10 minutes, if Sillinger and Fantilli and John, and by the way, KJ moving up top line, he was this morning. This is a team that's not generating enough shots.
Yeah.
They've got to shoot the puck. They have to. And I'm not saying that you're just shooting it to shoot it, but they've got to create some vibe that they're going to put some pressure on Detroit tonight. They're going to have to attack. They're going to have to play less not to lose and very much to win. That'd be the ultimate regret. You have to take it to them. So if Cole and Fantilli and Kent are up there, you get your chance.
Let it rip, man.
Like, you get your chance.
Let's go.
And you know I've looked. Jackets score in the first 10 minutes, they're plus 182. And so I feel like that may be actually some decent value.
Yeah,
but this is what it has become. I mean, against Carolina, the forwards aren't shooting. The D-men are shooting. The forwards are not. And when they do have a chance, they haven't been able to seal it up. Marchie's a little snake bit. Marchment has been a little snake bit on the doorstep. And this is what we've come to. I keep trying to lean into that there's nothing a win can't cure, but now you're running out of games. That's the problem. I said that a couple games ago. I mean, now you need this and others, but you can't worry about the others. And they've lost. I mean, this is just crazy to think that they've gone on a streak now of losing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of 8. Mm. Now, they got 1 point because they lost in the shootout to Boston. But they've lost 7 of 8 games. And that's what's in there between their ears right now. It's not that you got to see a result. They can't keep coming in saying, I mean, listen, I'm not going to fault them. They get a microphone put in front of their face in a locker room. What are they going to say?
They're going to say the right things.
They're going to say that we know talk is cheap, but you guys are in here looking for answers. We don't have the answers right now. If we did, we'd be winning. But what we can promise you is until we're dead, we're not dead. That's all they can say. That's what any athlete could say. And so if they win tonight, then it could ignite a final stay alive run for them. Doesn't mean they're getting in, but it could ignite something. If they lose, I really don't see a way out, because I don't even know. I mean, if they miraculously, after losing 8 in a row, would win their last 4, that would be as surprising as anything.
I like your call about what a positive result can do or could do, right? Because it's like sometimes in basketball where a good offensive player in hoops is not having a good night from 3 or his mid-range isn't falling. And what do we see sometimes? That player will get to the free throw line and he sees a couple go through, and then it's like, okay, now it's pop. Now I can pop off a little bit out here. And so they have, not too far back in the rearview mirror, a good body of work and good success where they went on that run. Now, that was a healthy unit for the most part, and that's not who they are right now. But if you can dust that off a little bit tonight and handle your business and say, have a sound, clean game, and I think what can spark that is the offense. I think if they can go to bed tonight with a win and with a nice amount of points on the board or goals on the board, I think that can get to what you're talking about is, okay, now Maddie, we can maybe find our groove again. You go to bed tonight again with one or two on the board and the loss, then it's, to your point, probably over, but they got to get the offense
going. So I'm with you to a certain extent, but I think if they won this game 1-0,
you'll take that too.
It would be honestly. Yeah, really, that. I know exactly what you're saying. And what you've described, I feel, was something that may or may not exist in hockey. And it does exist in basketball, the way you said. Because the Michigan Wolverines were 2-for-15 on threes last night. 2-for-15. They were 25-of-28 at the free throw line. And Roddy Gale missed two at the end back-to-back, or they would have been even better. Yeah. So that's what they can do. That's the kind of team. And hockey, it's a little different. There's not a lot of alternative ways. You can dump the puck in. You can forecheck more. Mm-hmm. You can go on the attack a little more. You can try to create more. But you can't create points. You can't create goals in that way. Like, you can, like, at least Michigan could score from the free throw line. Like, yeah, we can't hit anything from out here, but we're big enough and strong enough to get inside and make them defend us, and we can score 25 points of our 69 at the free throw line. So that's what happened with that. We'll see if the Jackets can do it tonight. All right, we're going to come back top of the hour after sports update, and this could be the ultimate temptation for this NFL team. Should they take it? Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
T-Bone and Tybus are everything you want in a delicious breakfast. Lots of empty calories, no nutritional value.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 9.
The Fan.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon. I'm Ryan Baker. We've got day baseball here in about 10 minutes as the Cleveland Guardians host the Kansas City Royals at 1:10. Gavin Williams makes the start for Cleveland opposite Noah Cameron. The Cincinnati Reds have won four straight. They're in Miami to face the Marlins at 6:40. Andrew Abbott will make his third start of the season. Sandy Alcantara for the Marlins. Coverage on the Fan's HD3 begins at 6:10. That one on the Fan 3 because over on the Fan 2 at 5:55, the Ohio State baseball team is taking on Bowling Green. The Columbus Blue Jackets have lost six straight, and they have a massive game tonight in Detroit against the Red Wings. The CBJ and the Wings are tied with 88 points, both 2 points out of a playoff spot. Massive changes in the lines expected, and Jet Greaves gets the start in goal. Pre-game coverage on the Fan begins at 6:30. Puck drop is at 7. This one's sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call 1-800-MORE-SLEEP or visit sleepbettercolumbus.com.
Anthony's tennis shorts were so tight, they had to pixelate his crotch. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
All righty, second hour of the program, Rothman and Ice. So let's preface this by saying I doubt he's going to be there. Because we talked yesterday about how some team is going to be tempted by the fruit of another, tempted by Jeremiah Love. And they're either going to go up and get him or draft him early. And I don't see him being available. Tennessee has picked number 4, and the Giants have picked number 5. And there are the Bengals, sitting at 10. So the reason we bring this up is because he's doing a pre-draft visit. Or he did, or he's going to do it Monday.
I believe it already happened. I think it was yesterday.
That had happened
I think it happened yesterday.
I wonder how that went. Was that in Cincinnati?
I would assume
where
so.
Where would that take place?
You could bring him to the stadium. Maybe
show him how to cross the street.
Yeah.
This is how we go to practice.
I was down there
last week. It's like a Frogger game.
When JP filled in for me, I was down there last week with Fish. And like looking out of the hotel room and seeing just how the practice facility is set up, I just laughed out loud. It's utterly ridiculous. Why we don't have a connected facility.
Well, maybe they should take a page out of the Packers book and give them little bicycles.
Ride bikes.
Little tricycles. Maybe a tandem bike.
Oh, What about like a little motorcycle with a little sidecar on
it? So T and Jamar can cycle together.
Well, sure, unless you're the guy, unless you're on the back of the bike, and then you don't have to pedal. You can just fake it.
You ever been on one of those pedal wagons with people? You can ride around like downtown or whatever.
You're going sideways. Sideways, that's a grind, and front ways, and back ways.
That thing can be a grind.
Like a Wonka Vader.
Yeah. Like, you better have a whole bunch of people putting in work. Because if it's like three of you guys that have to do all the heavy lifting,
but when you,
you're in trouble.
But when you pedal, my pedals are going too, right?
I don't believe so.
So I can just be right, just kind of
like.
See,
you'd be that guy. You wouldn't be. You'd leave it up to TLC and I. You guys get us to where we need to go. And then our legs are cooked for 3 days mm-hmm. after that.
That'd be supposed to have like 10 people participating. It's like. Just move your damn legs.
That's the only way we're going forward.
Some of them are like that. Oh, okay. I think some of them have some type of engine or something in there. But if it doesn't have that, then yeah, it's on everybody on this thing to get to where we need to go.
Yeah, we're going to save money. We're not going to have an engine and just do this the old human style.
Mm-hmm. What if they told Jeremiah Love, we all get like e-bikes we can just cruise around on?
Mm, okay.
You're doing some pedaling on that, right?
I believe so.
They go pretty fast, but you're doing some, and then the bike's doing most of it.
How fast are those things?
What percentage is the bike doing?
70-30, my guess. Well,
that's right up my alley.
And TLC, if you're looking this up, how fast does an e-bike go? What's like peak miles per hour we can get on that thing? Hit up Chad, see what he's talking about today.
I'm hitting up Chad right now. Chad tells me.
Because the question I have real fast before you answer is, can we break the speed limit on an e-bike? Like, can you go faster than the posted speed limit?
Okay.
Well, it depends. They got the class one e-bike, the class two, the class three, and the higher powered models. Mm. So the higher powered models say that they can go 50 plus, which those are not just like around the streets. Like, those have to be psychos who own
a motorcycle.
The general ones that you would probably see can go up to 20.
Okay.
Which, that's not nothing.
No.
Would you,
you get popped in a school zone?
Would you get, your local apartment complex might break that speed limit. But are you getting honked at from behind if you're going 20 and a 25? Are you getting passed?
You could get passed. But I don't think you're getting honked at.
On the e-bike?
No.
Oh, yeah. No, if you're on an e-bike in the middle of the road and you're not doing the speed limit?
I mean, if you're in a car.
Yeah, that's what I read it.
Are you noticeably breaking the speed limit actually in the negative direction?
Oh, if I'm behind someone that's going 20 and a 25, they're getting a little.
Really?
Yeah.
Because, Maddie, a 25 would technically be a neighborhood.
I need you to go the speed limit, not under it.
But in a 25, where are we really going? We're probably going home or leaving our home.
But I think that's a pretty noticeable difference.
It's not for a long period of time, though.
But I still don't want to be going under the speed limit. Like, let's go.
Anytime?
No. Like, everybody should be going.
We always have to go right up to
I think everybody should be going at minimum 65 on the freeway.
On the highway, but I'm using in every neighborhood, zone. Everyone shouldn't always have to do 25. Oh, yeah.
In my apartment complex, it's like 15, I believe. Like, let's go. 15 is not that fast either. Like, why are you going under 15 miles per hour? You know what I mean?
Well, you might get ticketed on your e-bike.
If you're in a parking lot or something. Like, I always feel like. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm just getting old. I feel like come back into the neighborhood like you're home. What's the rush? You're going to be home in 30 seconds.
I might have to go to the bathroom. I might be ready to watch a game, you know, something like that, you know? you asked what the rush was.
The bathroom and watching a game.
Speak his language, Ice. His fantasy quarterback might be about to take a snap.
Yeah, there you go.
He might be starting a drive.
Then he's laying on the horn.
If I forgot my phone and I got to make a lineup change, then maybe. But I'm not.
There it is. So there's something that would get you to lay on the
horn. I'm not
going to
talk myself into this.
If you're driving home, Sunday night football starts at, I believe, 8:20, and it's 8:19, and you got your fantasy quarterback, and you don't know if his team won the coin toss or not, but you got to find out. Are you laying on the horn for someone going a little bit too slow?
The horn's not going to do anything. I think you're either passing or you're not.
Do you think
the horn might actually make them go slower?
Do you think that your fantasy football players' performances change based off of whether or not you're watching them?
No, sometimes I don't watch.
Really?
Sometimes I purposely, like, when I'm, I told this to Maddie. No, sometimes I'm not saying I can't watch all of them at the same time. But what I mean is sometimes I used to, when I was doing fantasy football, I'd have the laptop on or I'd have my phone and I'd constantly be looking at the points and see who has what. Sometimes I like to, a little delayed gratification.
You want that
I like
surprise.
To look at it later.
Yeah.
I don't want to know. In fact, when I got to the semis this year, I was doing the math in my head.
See, I think...
I was trying to predict how many points I had and how many they had, and then I would convince myself to lowball mine a little bit,
okay,
and maybe give theirs a little more, and then I would
mental
be...
Mental hedging.
That's right.
Mental hedging.
Dude, I still contend, and this all goes back to the time where we said, Anthony, if you could only play fantasy of one sport, what would you choose? And you chose baseball. I don't think the addiction is sports watching. I don't think the addiction is gambling. I think Anthony's addiction is just setting lineups. I think his true calling is to be a GM somewhere because he just puts together the puzzle pieces, and that's what he really wants. He doesn't even have to watch the games. He set his lineup, and that's the day.
Yeah. When you've got a drop, he just speaks.
Well, I like moving pieces around the board. Okay. I feel like this is part of how GMs think. I think this way in fantasy. I imagine in reality it works somewhat similar.
But this is almost you in reality. There's an alternate universe where Anthony Rothman is the GM of some sports team.
Yeah.
He's Paul DePodesta. He's doing multiple teams in multiple
leagues.
Yeah,
but I'm not an analytics guy. Maddie knows that. I'm more my humanalytics. My humanalytics that I created that I don't think is ever going to... I think if I went and interviewed...
Do we have a t-shirt
I'll tell you what. If I really had the energy to do this... I would try to interview like the top coaches in their profession, either before, after, maybe after they retired, and see if I could get like their one big example where humanalytics won out, where they were able to identify the human, the athlete, and not look at the analytics.
So if you were a coach or GM,
goes to the underdog stories.
You'd be heavy on what's a popular word in sports culture.
That would be big for you.
100%.
Yeah. The in-house culture and the guys that you're bringing in and how they're wired and
starts from the top.
All that stuff.
Yeah. Look at any great company or business or sports team. It all starts from the top. I don't care what you own, whether it's a restaurant or whether
I do think though, and I agree with that because you're right. I do think though, you got to have a wild card or two on your roster. You got to have that one player that's going to shake the room and ruffle some feathers because a lot of times those guys are really good players in sports, right? Like those guys that are maybe have you losing some sleep at night. So those guys would drive
me nuts. Right. That's the most frustrating part.
But you'd be like, man, this dude's a baller. I got to have him. I absolutely got to have him.
The stupid penalty, the showboating that gets us flagged for 15.
And then later in the game, he makes an amazing catch for a touchdown.
And then it's
the same guy.
Just take the good with the bad type of guy.
Yeah.
So
the same guy.
We'll have to get into this maybe a little bit because the Jeremiah Love, I think this is too hypothetical.
Let's do it next.
Because you don't think he's really going to be there, right? You don't have to answer that. You can answer it next. You will have to answer it, but just not right now.
I got you.
All right, if he's there, should they take him? We'll do it next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day. The Fan.
There's an old story of Ohio.
Last year, Eric Reeser and T-Bone staged the first annual Fan 5K. People had a good time and no one died. So we decided to do it all again. It all goes down Saturday, June 20th in Otterbein.
Presented by the Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center.
Will Reeser's muscular calves explode? Will T-Bone's beard choke him while running? More importantly, will Tyvis Common Man and Timmy make total fools of themselves?
Maybe.
Magic 8-Ball says, signs point to yes. Register today at 971therace.com. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Plenty of sunshine today, but you'll need that jacket. Highs only getting into the mid to upper 40s across central Ohio. And then for tonight, clear skies with lows into the 20s. Widespread frost develops overnight into Wednesday morning, otherwise turning sunny with daytime highs milder, getting into the mid to low 60s. I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo for The Fan with the 10 weather impact forecast.
Catch the latest from the world of Ohio State athletics. Weeknights at 6 on The Buckeye Show. New special guests in everything Scarlet and Gray, The Fan.
There's nothing like ripping off your pants and enjoying some lobster bisque. This is Rothman and Ice.
I thought about this, and if Jeremiah Love is there at 10, then just blanket. Take him.
That's where you're at? That's fascinating.
I mean,
coming from
early on, I was like, please tell me. I guess you'd have to see how the board unfolds, right? Because if somehow, like, well, if it came down to like Jeremiah Love and Sonny Styles, everything you hear about Jeremiah Love and everything we've seen is that he may be perhaps the best offensive player teams have scouted in a long time.
You know what I find really interesting about Jeremiah Love is this time last year, there were, and I don't know if it was apples to apples, but there was a similar vibe around Ashton Jeanty and what he was going to be, and still maybe in the league, right?
Yeah.
Like just as far as how elite he was as a player and betting on the upside and all of that. And he went high in the draft too. And last year for him it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was okay, but it wasn't anything significant. I think it's eye-opening where we are now versus where we were a few years ago with the running back position, and teams are willing to just hop back on this train of, hey, we're good. We're good with taking a running back in the top five, top 10, whatever it may be. Because just a couple years ago when Jonathan Taylor was going through his whole thing, right, with the Colts, and they didn't really want to pay him, and then they ended up paying him, the running back position just seemed like it was like, hey, we can just find these guys whenever in the
fifth
round.
I think part of it is like rookie contract kind of stuff, too, that you're getting the best of the best of them. Now, they're not completely proven in the NFL, Matty, but you're not paying them that big, massive.
But nobody wanted to pay running backs hardly anything just a couple years ago. And I actually like where we're at now because I think these guys can be true difference makers if your team is ready for it. Like, that's the other part, I think, too. If you've got the guys up front that can move people around, if you have whatever you feel like is good structure for your offense, dropping the running back in there can put you over the top as far as what your unit can do. I just think it's interesting, AR, that we're just back in now with this kind of running back wave and the positive vibes around that position.
If you're a three-phase running back, if you're that guy, you can make a big difference. Cincinnati has proven to me, I don't know when their defense will ever get to a point where I feel like they're winning because of it. Most of the time, when they win, it's in spite of their defense. And they've always leaned into, right now, at least not publicly, that the best defense is great offense. And that's where they are. And we laughed at Detroit when they took Jahmyr Gibbs that high. And we looked at other teams when they drafted guys high and we were like, and not every one of them works out. And it is a physically taxing position. These are the guys that get injured the most. So it's tough.
And what did Detroit do, AR, for the first few years of his career? They paired him with David Montgomery, right? They're just now, it looks like, getting to the situation where he is going to get that true workhorse running back, you know, amount of touches and all those things. And they signed Pacheco, I believe. And so we'll see what he can bring. But he's kind of seems like fading away just a little bit. But I think they did a good job of, hey, right out of the gate, let's make sure on the back half of his rookie deal or new deal, whatever that's going to look like, is that now this guy can still be an effective player, which I think Gibbs will be because obviously he's a true difference maker. The dude's special.
I think that's it. He is more special than most. And I'm not talking about drafting him at 4. And I'll reserve the right to change if something happens with that board where somebody is available defensively that I didn't think would be there. But if he's there at 10, I guess you could question why he's there at 10. Why didn't those other teams go up and get him? Like, what do they know that you don't? But if you believe in the comparison level of what he could mean to an offense like Bijan Robinson has, then you've got something. But for the same, in the same sentence, you have, well, Breece Hall isn't, he's very good, but he's not, he hasn't turned to be the game breaker that everybody thought he'd be. Look what happened to Saquon when he finally got to a situation where he had that team around him that you're talking about.
I think those two situations, right, where you look at the Giants right out of the gate and you look at Breece these first couple of years.
Breece wasn't first round. I get that.
He came out of the, he had a pretty strong rookie year, right? Am I remembering that correctly? There was some good stuff that happened early on, but to your point, like the team success wasn't there. And so, like you mentioned, look, Saquon, where he's got
a lot of games. I don't think he played a lot of games
right
early on. But
so Saquon can go over to Philly, right? And they've got that massive offensive line. They've got, you know, this team on offense and defense that's loaded. You drop him in there and he had that special season. And so if you're Cincinnati and let's say for whatever reason, we're living in this hypothetical world right now to where Bane and Bailey and Styles and Downs and all these guys that they've been attached to on the defensive side are gone.
That's what I'm saying.
And he falls to you at 10. Then it comes down to your evaluation of the other defensive prospects. And do you think they're worthy of their top 10 pick and the other draft capital that you have? And so the Bengals do have 8 picks this year. They do have a second and a third round pick. So there's still, I think, going to be valuable defensive players you can get there. And this wasn't a crazy good rushing attack last year for the Bengals. They were 29th in the league in rushing yards per game. So it needs something. I just don't know if that would be the responsible move to make.
But sometimes doing the irresponsible thing
can be fun.
It's not. It's just leaning into their identity and their window of opportunity. If I can't even imagine what level their passing game could get to if they had this guy running the football.
Oh my goodness, the defense has had to load up the box.
I don't even know what you would do. And they would love winning games, you know, 41-38 if they could.
So what they've been doing.
Right. All I'm saying is this is who you are. Yeah. Now you could reverse it, and I don't want to be a hypocrite because I have said before. And that's why I'm telling you, this really depends on how this board falls. Because if Reuben Bain falls to 10 because of his short arms, I'm going to roll the dice and take him. I am. I think I've seen enough in college that I think he's relentless in his attack. And I think he makes up for that. And we've seen him do it. But so if he's at 10, I wouldn't take the running back. But I remember when we had this conversation about T. Higgins, and we had this, and I remember saying to you that you need to strengthen your weakness, not strengthen your strength. Like, you have such a glaring weakness defensively. I don't know how you're going to compete in this league long term without a defense that does some good things. It keeps you at least somewhat competitive in games. So, but when I started thinking about Jeremiah Love being there at 10 and people saying that this is the greatest player they've scouted in a long time. 4.36 40, powerful, breakaway speed, home run ability. It's hard to ignore that at 10.
He won't be there.
That's what I said. He
won't be there.
That's part of why I maybe love him. Because of the value.
Uh-huh.
Like, if you're like, holy cow, he fell in our lap. No one went up to get him. Now I might question myself there, like, why didn't they? But if he's there at 10, wouldn't you be tempted?
Oh, 100%.
Do you think NFL teams do that? That they like a player up to a certain point, but then if the player actually falls to them, they start to question it like live in the moment? Or do you think they just all pull the trigger?
I think at that point, you've kind of run these guys through the gamut of the medicals and the interviews. Like, I think teams probably have similar information on all these guys, right? I don't know if one team's going to have, hey, we just have a better doctor than your doctor, and we found this in his, I don't know, his ankle or whatever it may be. And so, yeah, I what do you think, AR?
I think they trust their scouts. I think that their big board's their big board, and if a guy's there, they're more happy he's there than questioning it. Yeah, I think they're like, oh, my God.
The board broke our way.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't think they're like, oh, we didn't think he'd be there, and now he's there. Now we're second-guessing ourselves. Right. I don't think the NFL does that.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, at 10, there's going to be a defensive addition to that to the team. They've had that momentum
most likely.
Right this offseason. Yeah. I think they're taking us inside their mind of, hey, just following their actions and what they've done, right? Whether it's Boye Mafe, Jonathan Allen, they added Kyle Duggar, I believe, and the safety from Kansas City. So they've brought in 4 to 5 different defensive players. No matter what happens and how this shakes out in the draft, whether it's an offensive player 10, defensive player 10, whatever it is, this is going to be a massive. I think one of the guys under the most pressure this year in this division is Shamar Stewart. This is the guy that can really close the gap on the elite defenses and where the Bengals have been towards the bottom and get them towards the middle. If that guy can go and be what he's supposed to be and pay off on that potential, because that's all it is, right? Because we talked a lot about that draft pick a year ago, is that he wasn't getting home a lot, or he was getting there, but there wasn't a lot of the closing of the deal there with getting to the quarterback to the ground. And so we've talked about Miles Murphy for the last couple of years. I think we kind of know what that is, right? He can maybe flash every once in a while, but But Stewart is now the guy on this team that you can make a case that has the most pressure on him because they're in this win now window and they need him to be a special player.
Part of me believes that the Bengals would actually love to have somebody take Love before they really have to be tempted, because that's two things. One, you've just helped us with our own frustration about whether we should do it. And number two, and the more important part, is it will knock another defensive player down. Yeah. 100%. So it's almost like we won't really worry about this till he's there. Mm-hmm. If he is there, they would tout it as a great problem to have, whether we're picking Sonny Styles or Jeremiah Love. Yeah. That would go down as a great problem to have. But part of them, take the decision out of our hands, please.
And I think, and I agree with that, and I think Kansas City told us everything we needed to know about where Jeremiah Love's going to get drafted. Because for a while, they were, hey, if he gets the 9, Kansas City's going to be in. They go out and sign Kenneth Walker. So I think they knew or know behind the scenes that he's not falling to us. Somebody in that top 8 is going to get him. And so I don't think the Bengals are going to have to worry about this scenario.
We'll get Tyvus Powell's opinion on this in 2 minutes. Stay close. Rothman at
543.
Rossmann and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Their live golf team name is Ice Dogs. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
All right, he's our man, Tyvus Powell. And usually he's in the booth next to us, but somebody let him out, and so now he's gone. We thought we'd have you in studio today, my man.
No, you know, I'm only doing like a 20-minute hit segment now. So once that's over with, boom, I'm gone. Because, you know, AR, I got some events coming up. So next month, I'm talking to the Clippers about stealing. They're going to let me steal from first to second to see if the catcher can get me out. So I'm getting in shape because I got to get ready for this challenge. And then in June, as you know, at the Fan 5K, I'm running 40s. Against fans, so I got to make sure I drop that 4.46 hole.
Okay, first of all, because I got a lot of questions, what workout are you doing right now? Because you seem a little out of breath.
I am not out of breath. I am currently walking on the treadmill. I did a leg workout today. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So I'm ending the workout walking on the treadmill.
Okay, respect. Now, let's get to you trying to steal a bag here. Is there going to be a... First of all, I know your confidence is through the roof, so I'm not going to ask a certain question because I know you feel like you're going to be safe all day and tomorrow. How many?
You know what, Maddie? That's why I like you, because you don't ask rhetorical questions.
How many attempts are you getting here?
Oh, listen. So there's this great song by Eminem. It's called Lose Yourself. And at the beginning of the song, he says, if you got one opportunity, one shot to seize everything that you ever wanted, but you captured or let it slip. All I need is one. That's it. I mean, ain't no duo over. And we're going to do it. I want it to be like a live thing. I want it to be a first baseman. I want it to be a pitcher. I prefer Logan Allen. Go guards, free passe. But I want it to be Logan Allen as the pitcher. I want it to be a catcher. I want it to be a second baseman.
You don't want it to be.
I want it to be so I actually, he could pick me off at first if I take too much, you know? I want it to be a real game situation. And then I'm going to just get to second base. And by the time the catcher get it to second base, I'm going to already be standing on the bag.
I think Logan Allen's a dicey call. Those lefties have a good pickoff move, T. That can get a little dicey. So you got to be careful with that, too.
Listen, Kenny Lofton taught me everything I need to know. We good.
Okay, there it is. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. I'm rounding second, and I'm standing on 3.
Yeah, come on now.
All right. So this is in like batting practice or something. You're going to just be out there, and there will be a pickoff. Like you're not starting from first. You're leading off. Like, give us the scenario. You get to lead off. If they pick you off, then you're done. Experiment over.
Correct. But we in the works right now. You know, this is something that I teased it on the UCSS, and I didn't know that Mike Lucas, our producer, was cool with the guy for the Clippers. So we done tweeted back and forth, and he like texted me, and he like, we got to set this up. This got to happen.
Okay.
So we shooting for next month in May.
All right.
So I'm getting the body ready to go.
there's an art to this thing that isn't just speed, right? So, like, you gotta...
Listen, Matty Ice, listen, okay? I'll tell you how to do radio, okay? Some things you just naturally gifted at, okay?
I'm just...
Baseball was really supposed to be my sport.
Okay.
It was too easy for me, so I wanted more of a challenge. So then I started playing football.
You do understand the fastest players in baseball get thrown out, right? Like, it's not an automatic.
That's because they ain't never seen nobody like me. They might get thrown out, man. Right, they ain't got nothing to do. You comparing apples to oranges, but they ain't got nothing to do with me.
Okay. All right, cool. Who knew we were working with Ricky Henderson of the fan?
Listen, if Josh Naylor can steal successfully, I know I can.
That goes to my point. There's an art to it. It's not just speed. So you got to pick the right pitch to go on and everything. Listen, call me later. I'm going to help you out. I'll help you out.
I think you're in big trouble.
Y'all saying, ain't no way no catcher is gunning me out at second. I don't see it.
These are professionals. You know that, right?
I respect that, and I salute that. But I'm just telling you right now, there is no way on God's green earth that this man is throwing me out at second. I'm too good for that.
When is the last time you've practiced a slide into a base?
My sophomore year of high school.
Oh, we got a lot of work.
You will be going head first.
I ain't going nothing. I'm gonna be standing on the back.
You can't run that fast and be able to stop and stay on the bag.
I don't like disclosing this information because this is classified.
Okay.
But
I'll
let you know something. Mm-hmm. Usain Bolt is a distant cousin of mine. You saying so? It's in my bloodline. I don't like to talk about it a lot, but like he is a distant cousin of me.
Okay, those Jamaican roots, huh?
He's gonna get on first. Guy's gonna say, "Where are you going, meat?" He's gonna say, "About 90 feet."
I'm gonna tell you. See you later, suckers.
Do you think that if Jeremiah Love is available at 10, that Cincinnati will be tempted? And you would recommend that they decide to do it?
First of all, Jeremiah Love is there at 10. They ain't got no choice but to do it.
Yeah.
They got to do it. So a lot of people say that Jeremiah Love is the best player in his draft. Some people say that. So if that's the case, and he is the highest graded running back coming out, or third behind who? I think it's Bijan and Saquon.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the case, He is a for sure thing. You have to take that. You put that with that offense with Chase Brown. Plus, these offenses today that's more successful, they're running two running backs. There is no one running back anymore. You got to have two of these guys that can do a lot of good things. You see what Ben Johnson did with Chicago, with Kyle Manungai, and who was the lead back there?
Swift.
And then you see, obviously, what he did with the Lions. All these teams are doing that. You got to bring that rushing attack to this offense. Seems like the game is starting to go back to being able to run the ball and have good offensive line play.
I think Cincinnati should do it. Yeah, the one team that didn't do it, who had a great year, was James Cook. Like, they really don't have a top line second running back.
Ty Johnson?
Something like that. Yeah. So, yeah, there's certain examples, but the workhouse guys eating 80-90% of the work, they're few and far between. Like Derrick Henry is obviously one of those guys too. So I'm assuming, Tyvus, in your opinion, if he's there at six, you want the Browns to do the same thing.
I do. Okay. I have no problem with it. I think the Browns need to go back to the traditional Brown style. Run the ball. I mean, be able to run the ball. If you have Kadore Sanders, a young quarterback, then you need to be able to help him out. A good thing to help a young quarterback is a good run game. Now we can actually run play action and make these linebackers have to respect it. Now we can throw the over routes to an Isaiah Bond or a Jerry Jeudy. We can hit them on them dig routes. That's where the game is won. A lot of times it's inside the hashes. I know we get so enamored with speed and the deep ball and all that, but a lot of the game is played inside the hashes, over intermediate routes, and the best way to get them linebackers to commit, have a running back that they respect.
Okay. I'm. You know what? I mean, the more we talked about it, the more I was convincing myself. The Bengals, if he's there at 10, I said to Matty, it's just a value.
I know. Be there at 10.
And by the way, that might help them save them from themselves a little bit, where they wouldn't have to make that decision. But I surprised Maddie because I the value just won me over if he were to drop. I'd question a little bit about why he did, but I don't think that would prevent me from taking him.
Yeah, if your team doctors checked him out and approved of everything, and you see the tape, there's no denying.
Yeah, he's a doula. I'm turning you into Andrew Berry for this hypothetical right here. Browns are on the clock at 6. Both Carnell Tate and Jeremiah Love are there. GM Powell, who are you taking?
I'm taking Jeremiah Love, and then I'm taking one of the other receivers later on in the draft. But the simple fact that I think the drop-off from running back 1 to running back 2 is bigger than wide receiver 1 to wide receiver 2, 3, 4, 5, et cetera. I think you could find a guy at 24 that's still in the draft, Denzel Boston, Casey Concepcion, Omar Cooper Jr. Those guys can come in and contribute right away as well. You know, they might not have the polish that the other guys got, but these guys are also playmakers. From running back 1 to running back 2, I just think it's a big-time drop-off.
T, let me wrap it up with this, and I'm going to bring something to the table that I want to know whether – I know you're dripping with confidence. It may not matter, but I want to bring something to your attention. That in Major League Baseball or any professional baseball, guys steal probably 10% of the time when they get to first base. You're taking that out. You're taking that secret weapon of whether he will or he won't out of the equation. They know you're stealing. That's the difference. If I got to first base in a real game, there's 10% chance I'm going unless we're desperate. You have now taken that out of it.
Hey, two things. One, I didn't say I have to. It could be a batter up there. The batter might hit a gap play, and I might round second and go third. That's one thing. Two, I don't care if they know it or not. Can you stop it? See, the thing about me is, you know, it's like playing football. You can know I'm going through the A gap. Can you stop me from getting through that A gap? Don't matter to me. You can know. I'm going to tell them that I'm going. I'm going to yell at them on my way out if I'm leaving to go to second. So he better throw a fastball.
All right. I didn't know this was like a simulated game. I thought it was just, we throw you on first, you take your lead, and then you decide when you go, how many throwovers they get. Maybe you could limit the pitcher to, you know.
I want them to do that too. Okay. Go ahead and throw it over. Okay. Let me get back.
All right.
Okay. This is going to be must-see TV.
Either way. I agree.
Listen, once I get done, I want a 10-day contract. Pinch runner.
Oh, outstanding. All right. We'll be looking forward to it.
Thanks. I'll see y'all later.
All right.
Go Bucks, go Guards, free Classe, take Ortiz. Guards is fine. Are they playing right now? Yeah,
down 1-0. Down 1-0.
Freezing up there.
Don't tell me that. That's bad. Yeah, we're going to be all right, though. Go Cavs. Go Jackets tonight. Got to get this one against Detroit so we can make it to the playoffs.
I'm with you, man. Be well. Talk to you soon.
See ya. See y'all.
All right, there you go.
Oh, I just confident, man, to say the least. I think he's cooked.
You were pretty close, AR.
What's that?
I got 6.4% so far this baseball season on stolen base opportunities.
Guys,
except the only data that I have is both stealing second and stealing third as opportunities.
Do you have a percentage of success rate so far?
Of that
6% that are taken off?
77%.
Well, all right. That's higher than I thought.
Pretty good. I think he's cooked.
I think he's
absolutely cooked.
I think the best he can hope for is to maybe get into a rundown and maybe evade that for 10 seconds.
And that's not a win for him.
And that's not the job.
Yeah.
If we had a poll, out, safe, rundown, dead meat, like the bottom two are going to.
Fielder's choice. Yeah.
He really lost me, too, when he said that he hasn't slid into a base since his sophomore year of high school.
He's not sliding.
He's going to have to.
I agree.
He's going to have to.
Is he wearing baseball pants?
I would hope.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's got to have cleats.
He can't do it in shorts. I think that needs to be a factor in this, too. No shorts allowed. Got to have baseball pants on.
All right. We're coming back with a Buckeye Bulletin. This may be the ultimate anti-Buckeye mock the TLC found. We'll tell you next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
We used to have a billboard with our host's face on it, but only ugly people work here now.
You mama say you ugly. Hey!
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
@great.com.
Tyvis Powell is a contradiction. He'll police the food you have on your plate and shame you into dieting. Also, he has a burner Uber Eats account, so his wife doesn't know what he's eating. T-Bone and Tyvis.
Weekday mornings at 6.
The Fan.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Columbus Worthington Air and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Rothman and Ice present. Buckeye Bulletin.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Save up to 50% on new windows from windownation.com.
All right, we've just been debating whether or not the Buckeyes could go all four in the top 10. We've done that for about a month now. And I think, and then when I told you guys what would be even cooler, and this would most likely never happen, is they went back to back to back to back.
Okay.
That's a little too far-fetched, but that's my whole Ford versus Ferrari theory. Like, let's line them up. But, and we also debated if there was one, if one of the four isn't drafted in the top 10, which one would that be? I think we're all different.
I had Carnell.
You had Carnell, I had Sonny, and he had Caleb. All right, so now the ultimate anti-Buckeye mock
is
out. He didn't do that on purpose. I'm just saying the results speak for themselves.
Okay. It comes to us from one Peter Schrager.
All right.
Okay.
I would not have even mentioned this if it were somebody who we've never heard of before, but Peter Schrager is on ESPN all the time. So I stumbled upon this, and we can go down the line a little bit. First of all, okay, Mendoza, number one of the Raiders, blah, blah, blah.
Real quick, sorry to cut you off. Just news out there, he's not coming to the draft. He'll be in Miami, Mendoza.
Yes.
So, good for him.
I wonder why.
He's from Miami, right?
Yeah, no, I know that.
But the whole fan, I'm assuming it's
a foregone conclusion to be number one. Now, this goes into his personality. Like, he's an interesting cat. But if we knew you're being drafted one overall...
I mean, I hear what you're saying. Like, I think the emotional part can kick in. All your homies from high school. Like, you grew up with people and all that. Like, you want to celebrate that together.
Steel City.
And it's also like, hey, you want to have your day in Miami or Pittsburgh? I know what I'm picking. Okay. I want to celebrate in Miami with my people.
He wins a Heisman Trophy, and now he's Mr. Hollywood. There are only certain cities that'll tolerate.
He calls us
flyover country now.
I mean, I want to give him a little credit for this.
A lot of guys do this, right? Yeah. Like, this is kind of
this is the first number one pick since Trevor Lawrence.
Happen often at number one.
I didn't mean number ones. That's not what I was talking about. I was talking about prospects in general that are like, hey, I'm going to stay home and not really go to the draft. You know, it doesn't seem like it's a must-have for all these guys now. But I hear what you guys are saying for sure.
All right, number two. This is where it's slightly anti-Buckeye. This isn't unheard of, but Peter Schrager has David Bailey going number two, which puts Arvell Reese number three to the Cardinals. Arvell Reese is definitely the majority favorite to go number two, but it's not exactly unheard of for David Bailey to leapfrog him there, especially after the combine, people like David Bailey there.
And he's a little more of a traditional sack guy. Like, he's not...
You know what he is. Right, like you know what he is. The Arvell thing is, we're betting on what we saw this year. There seems to be like a vibe around Arvell's ceiling maybe being a little higher than, let's say, a David Bailey or a Bain. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you're coming off a year for David Bailey where he was one of the top sack artists in college football. Right, and so you know what that looks like.
Yeah.
All right, then we go.
All right, so that's not anti-mock, Buckeye mock there yet.
No.
Right, I agree.
Well, that's not going to count for me yet.
Yeah, so then at number four, we have Jeremiah Love. A lot of people have Tennessee taking him there. Mm-hmm. You better have a good offensive line. Number five, this one with the Giants at five, this is where you can kind of spin the wheel on Buckeyes and which one is going to go there, except he actually has Francis Maui-Noah, the right tackle from Miami, going there, which then takes us to six to the Cleveland Browns. Okay, where are we at? We've had the Carnell Tate discussions there. You need O-line, you need a receiver. Do you go receiver, then O-line later at 24? Do you go Carnell Tate at 6 and then go O-line at 24? What are you going to do? He has Spencer Fanneau, the right tackle from Utah, going number six. So we now make it to number seven, where the second Buckeye comes off the board, which is Sonny Styles. So a lot of mock drafts do not have the second Buckeye falling all the way to seven. Misdemeanor or felony?
Misdemeanor.
Probably a misdemeanor. Yeah, misdemeanor. I can't quite get to full-blown felony based on safety is not a position that usually is thought of that high. And that's when I speak about Caleb. Carnell Tate, there are some other good receivers that are available still. I don't know if anybody looked, they're not looking at him as a reach, but maybe they look at it a little more of a luxury that, and he's not a big receiver, although he's very effective. So yeah, I'm with Maddie. We'll go misdemeanor on that.
All right, number eight is the Saints. They are taking Reuben Bain, and according to Peter Schrager. That's not the worst thing in the world. And number nine, Kansas City, who needs a receiver, goes Jordan Tyson, who Daniel Jeremiah is not a fan of.
What did DJ say? Because of the injuries with Tyson? Yeah. Is that okay? Okay.
Yeah. Well, who was... I think when we talked to Tybus a couple weeks ago, he liked another receiver outside of Carnell
Tate. Lemon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He wasn't sold that that had to be.
It's all fit, too, right? Like, what you need in your offense, like you don't want. We talked about it yesterday with the Jets and Carnell. Can the skill sets play off of each other and all of that? It's just all about what you envision for your guy and how he can help you out right away with. You don't want to have, I think, the same guy doing the same thing within your wide receiver room all the time.
It's a little, that one's a little weird for me, only because you're, Tyson's had an injury history. He's no taller than Carnell. He's a little bigger, but not much. Mm-hmm. Like, that one's a little surprising to me, but not a ton. But are we getting to the point where you're going to tell me that there's only one Buckeye in the top 10?
No, because we had Sonny as well.
I'm Sonny with Harvell, two of the four. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it is only two because Mansoor Delane goes 10 to the Bengals, not Caleb Downs. So we have Carnell Tate going 11 to Miami and Caleb Downs going 12 to Dallas.
I mean, whenever you can get a guy that's viewed as a shutdown guy, it's not the worst pick in the world, right? Like, you're picking between a safety and a corner, but if you have
Cincinnati, they need all the defensive
help.
That's
what I mean. Like, I'm not going to kill him for that.
Right.
But, all right, but you were right to say that, because that's the first mock we've seen that hasn't had at least three.
In the top 10?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so two made it. So they would be just outside the top 10. All right. You got my boy Carp in the wings. He's in the green room. Oh, he's in the green
suited
room.
Suited and booted today.
He's ready to walk the green mile. We'll have him next in studio. Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
No hot takes, no dancing, plenty of stupid. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Working your
qualify.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon. I'm Ryan Baker up at Progressive Field. They're in the top of the fourth inning, and the Kansas City Royals have a 1-0 lead over the Cleveland Guardians. Carter Jansen, a solo home run in that one. The Cincinnati Reds have won four straight. They're down in Miami to face the Marlins at 6:40. Andrew Abbott will get the start for the Reds. Sandy Alcantara for the Marlins. Coverage over on the Fans HD3 begins at 6:10. That is on the HD3 because over on the Fan 2 tonight, 5:55 start, the Ohio State baseball team battling Bowling Green. There's a lot on the line in Detroit as the Columbus Blue Jackets face the Red Wings at 7 this evening. The CBJ and the Wings are tied with 88 points, 2 points out of a playoff spot. Jet Greaves gets the start in goal. Pregame coverage on the Fan begins at 6:30. This one's sponsored by Green & Sons. Find your next Kubota tractor at Green & Sons, located in Mount Sterling and north of Marysville, or greenandsons.com.
Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for A Deeper Dive.
Sponsored by Low T Center. Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare.
All right, final hour of the program, and we've got our man, Bobby Carpenter, in studio, dressed for success. Good to see you, brother.
It's good to see you. That's success. That's a loose term, but we're maintaining.
Okay. I'm glad to see you. You just heard Pete Schrager put out a mock draft. Listen, this is an insult to say that four Buckeyes could go in the top 12. That's up.
Well, that like buries the lead. It's like there's only two in the top 10. Yeah. And then I'm looking over the Drop King's shoulder over there, and it's like, all right, 11 is Carnell Tate, and 12 is Caleb Downs, which Bodie would be really happy if Dallas got Caleb.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
he'd be happy if any of those four guys were there at 12.
Defense. Oh, he wants, any of the Buckeyes.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they don't really need Tate. Yeah. They did that, they could let, what's his name?
Pickens
walk. But
AR brought up an interesting point, though, about that the other day. Like, if this thing with Pickens, the negotiation process doesn't go, and just say, hey, you know, maybe flip him for, I don't know, something in the season.
You can flip him, or, like, you can let him walk, and you'll get a third-round supplemental the next year. So, if someone's like, well, we don't want to pay him and do all this, if you can't get more than a second, it's like, all right, well, you go do what you want to do. Yeah. We'll let you walk, and we'll get a third-round supplemental next year.
We also had the conversation, this running back specifically, Jeremiah Love, is the coveted piece here.
Yep.
And we both think that he'll be gone somewhere in the top six.
Six, seven, yeah, somewhere in there.
I mean, I've talked to people that believe he's the best offensive player in the draft.
Yeah.
Like non-QB. So
what if your needs are so slanted defensively?
Do you have the luxury? Cincinnati?
Well, in a world where he's there at 10.
I think you take him.
Yep, I did too.
You take best player available.
What if it's this? What if it's Jeremiah and Sonny on the board?
I think that you probably have it like a number. And if you power rank that draft and you're telling me that you're at 10 and you have a chance to get what you think is maybe the second best player, I think you take the second. Unless it's like, hey, the third guy we had was Sonny,
right,
and we could maybe use him. But I think if there's any type of disparity, you want to draft for need, but when need's appropriate to what your value system is.
I'm with you.
And everybody values guys differently. And some teams may not have Jeremiah Love. I believe he's really stinking good and is like a Bijan Robinson. Like, he's a guy that can, he's a home run hitter at running back. And he's also an every down guy. Right. So I don't know. Is it Allen Iverson? My offense is my my defense is my offense. Offense is my defense. One of the two. Maybe that's it. My offense is my defense.
That's what I said to him. Imagine what that passing game could get to, knowing if the Bengals had Love.
Yeah, you have any running game.
You wouldn't know what to do.
Well, and you can burn clock. You can possess the ball longer. Like, your defense, here's one of the other things that makes your defense better, is if teams have to be one-dimensional because you can score a bazillion points.
Yeah.
That's what the Colts built their team with Peyton Manning, that they were going to go out there and score points on you and get a lead, and then you're going to have to pass. And their defense wasn't very big, but they were fast. And so we'll get you on the turf. We're going to go score 40 a game. You try to keep up and see if we can get sacks. Now, teams that beat them, possessed the ball, got them off the field, wore their defense down, and then they flipped the script. But not everybody could do that.
And when it comes to Love, too, like, there's a little narrative out there that you can just find good running backs whenever. Like, that's not really the case. Like, the elite guys in the NFL, like, these guys, first, second round picks. And so, yeah, if that did happen for Cincinnati, you drop him in there, then you're just talking about just as dangerous of an offense as you can find in the sport.
People say, well, you know, what's the life expectancy of his career expectancy? You know, dude, who cares after 5 years? Like, we'll figure it out then. If we need to call Rothman in to put the tag on him, we'll have him come down 71 five years from now, and he can slap the tag on him.
Especially when you're a team that's ready, like, and knows that if we get anything from our defense, anything from them, we could be a team that makes a whole bunch of noise in the playoffs.
And you can go start going defense second. This is the deepest edge class in what, like, for drafts in a long time. So you can circle back and get a defensive end.
They've got eight picks, Cincinnati does. They've got their second and third.
You've got some stuff in there to be able to make some moves.
Here's why this comes up a lot, Maddie. And I'm with you that things have maybe changed for the running back. But the top five or top six running backs in this league were not first-round picks. James Cook, Derrick Henry.
But those are second-round picks, though.
That's what I'm saying. But we're talking about a guy in the top five. That's all I'm saying.
No, I'm saying, like, I guess, like, there was this narrative out there for years, right, that you can get 80% of some of these guys in the fifth or sixth round. I just don't think that's the case.
What was Christian McCaffrey, like, seven?
McCaffrey was
eight.
Yeah.
First pick, though,
right? How was he on that?
Yeah. I think he was
eight. Yeah.
First pick in the
Eighth round?
I think so, yeah.
What?
Who?
Christian McCaffrey. Did you have a stroke over there?
No, eighth pick.
Overall.
The eighth overall first round. Pick. I'm sorry.
Fournette went fourth.
Look at you. I'm hearing him.
Fournette went fourth and McCaffrey went eighth. Yeah.
And so one didn't work out as well. Christian McCaffrey, you would argue, is kind of what you want. And if you think that he's a Christian McCaffrey-esque guy, then that kind of changes the
Devon Achane was third round.
Yeah.
Bijan Robinson, obviously pick eight like McCaffrey was. Jonathan Taylor.
He was first round. Later,
second though. Round. He was pick 41.
Edwards-Helaire went first round.
Yeah. So there's some that
Kyren have Williams.
Yeah.
Fifth round.
What I was going to say.
That's the outlier, though.
The outliers were all in the top five of the league this year.
No, but I'm talking about Bijan, Saquon. Yeah. These are all first and second round picks. Like, you got to use some pretty significant draft capital to get these guys.
The question becomes is, do you think he is a Saquon Barkley, a Christian McCaffrey-esque player that is worthy of that? Or is he someone that you could probably get, you know, picks 25 to 50? But the guys that have been really good, and then that's on your assessment of it,
yeah,
of what you believe he is, you know, and kind of where you're at a little bit. I mean, it'd be nice if they could just luxury best available, and you have other needs. But if you think that he is that type of a changer, I think you do go with it.
You think Tennessee's ready for him? Because there's a lot of that out there right now that, you know, they're in on Jeremiah Love. Like, a lot of, it's just mocks and opinions and all that stuff. I get that. But it seems to be like that team right now that's attached to him.
Yeah, I mean, I think you've got to get your offensive line better a little bit first. I mean, got a young quarterback. They've got a lot of things. I think they just take best available. If he's there, I think you take, like, if you, it's whatever they believe their assessments are on these guys. Because every team is a little bit different of how they rank them. But you just got to go best available, I think, especially if you're a team like that.
It's tough to try to know. You could tell us how much spring ball affects a team in the fall, like how much of these practices will really show itself this fall.
Well, we'll go to the Plato cliche factory. Yeah. Can't win a title in April, but you sure can lose one, Rothman.
Well, you could only lose it if all of your great players got injured.
I think if you don't get the work out of it you need, and now I would say it's more important than maybe ever. It's maybe not as much development. The young guys it is, but you also had 25 guys that came in from somewhere else. So it's also like heavy level scheme introduction of trying to figure out exactly what these guys do well and how to kind of build things around them. If you're a good coach, some guys say, all right, we got it. We're going to plug and play and let's go. But trying to figure out what the difference between Little and Downs is playing safety, like, they're both really good players, but there are some nuances and differences of how they play the game. And so how do we put these guys in the very best situation to be able to have them succeed, and knowing what maybe some of those differences are?
And by the looks of it, I mean, last year, it just seems like, to your point about the teaching, is that that's something Patricia did really well last year and will continue to do, right?
He's a really good teacher. Yeah. I'm sitting there watching walkthrough today and talking through the stuff with them and just seeing how he explains things to guys and trying to teach football is overall concepts. And for young guys, that's really hard, because what they want to do is say, I want to memorize what I do. And that's important, instead of saying, this is what we're doing and this is why I'm doing this, like, in as a function of the whole unit, because we're trying to get something done. Like, what are we trying to achieve with this call? And then, you know, what's the goals of it? And then as you move forward, like, learning that and kind of learning the jobs around you. And that's really good at saying, this is why we call this. These are families. This is grouped together. These are similarities of kind of how these things overlap.
You want to stick around?
Yeah, we'll do one.
All right, cool. Because I want to ask you about a couple of battles over there this spring and if they truly exist. We'll do that next with our guy, Bobby Carpenter, in studio, Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Winners of the prestigious Platinum Microphone Award every year, given to the best radio station in the world. No need to look it up. It's real. The Fan.
Every time you...
In the old days when people lived to be 40, you only had one option for listening to your favorite show. But now, ooh, baby, radio, podcast, the Fan app, and YouTube, ooh, just to name a few, live or on demand. You have no excuses. The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Plenty of sunshine today, but you'll need that jacket. Highs only getting into the mid to upper 40s across central Ohio. And then for tonight, clear skies with lows into the 20s. Widespread frost develops overnight into Wednesday morning, otherwise turning sunny with daytime highs milder, getting into the mid to low 60s. I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo for The Fan with the 10 weather impact forecast.
Question from a listener. Do you dopes ever get tired of talking about Ohio State? No. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan. Rothman and Ice present Three Snap Reads.
Sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call Dr. Mark Levy today at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP.
All right, our guy Bobby Carpenter in studio as always this time of the week. Bob, we don't know what we're going to actually see in the spring game. I don't know how many guys are going to actually...
That's a beautiful mystery.
It is, because I'd love to see, like, these corners lined up against the top receivers and see who can win some of those battles. Is Sanchez going to take a leap? Is he going to be the other guy?
He's playing well.
Yeah, he is, and I think...
It's tough when you're getting compared going against Jeremiah every day.
That's...
And I'm like... Right.
But if you win a couple of those...
That's my point. You're going to take some losses. He is playing well. He's a very conscientious kid who's got great ability. And when you have those two things, development happens.
Is there any battle that you think can be won this spring? Or is it just you take the lead into the offseason?
I don't think they're defining anything this spring. You'll have an idea. And I think that they want to start, you know, sketching out some broad strokes of what it's going to look like. But you didn't have Padilla playing on the offensive line. Now you're down with Austin Cerebell and Philip Daniels both out. No, that isn't the biggest thing. But you do get to now... And you're already getting some look at Ian Moore at tackle. You get an extended look at him at tackle. Hopefully Gabe's back. You're feeling good at guard. And you'll be able to get a chance of those guys because I think you can play Austin at guard. I think they're pretty confident in that. The question is, does Gabe play better to keep Austin over at tackle or does Ian play better? Do you move Austin to guard?
Bob, how are the other quarterbacks looking? Like, we know what maybe we don't know because maybe there's going to be added elements to his games by the sound of what they want from him this year, maybe with extending plays. But the other guys in that quarterback room and how they're spinning it right now, what are your thoughts on that?
So here's the one problem. As the offensive line gets decimated, it just muddies the water. And this, I feel like this happens almost every spring for the guy whoever's running with the twos and threes. It's just Tavian's got – he has progress that needs to be made, and he's making it. Like, he's got a great arm. He's starting. You can see him processing things a little bit better as the more he sees stuff. But it's really hard because the picture of the rush in front of him is super cloudy. Because, like, you're down now.
You're two some of your star, top guys,
like,
for sure.
Yeah, I mean, Padilla's not out. So, like, three of your top, like, nine guys aren't in there. And I feel like there's always a bigger drop from first offensive line to second than there is, like, first D-line to second D-line. And so you're probably getting to see a little bit of that now.
The running back room is depleted as well, but we've heard about the legend that is Legend Bay.
He's been out with a little nicked up deal. Yeah, what did Ryan say? What it was?
Not exactly. I don't believe.
Yeah, so he's been out a little bit. You know, I mean, he'll be fine and be back. But the most important ability is availability. Mm-hmm. Like they've seen him do some stuff. I think they're very excited about what he can bring to the table. But with that, we've got to see you out there. To want to build around you and be able to put some package things in, like, you've got to be available. And it's what's really hard about this.
You're probably pretty excited about to see this linebacker room kind of evolve. It has to. Yeah, you lose Arvel Reese and Sonny Styles, so.
Now James has to go to work.
Yeah, right.
You and me could have coached those guys. That's what I told Fick when we all left. And he had James and Marcus there. Now you got to actually do some work. But
competition's good, though.
It is. I think Peyton's looked really good, and he played a ton last year. I mean, made a lot of plays as it was. But then you start looking around. They brought in Christian Allegro. You've got TJ Ford. Both those guys have looked good. Garrett Stover's made some plays. You know, the two other, you got Eli in there. He's looked good.
Sincere Johnson.
They call him JJ. There's a lot of nicknames going on and number changes. So, and he has looked good, and he's very explosive, very fast. But, like, your first year is hard. Like, you're swimming right now trying to get all that done. And then also, like, Riley Pettijohn has been out.
Mm-hmm.
And so the guys that are in there, I think Christian and TJ have looked really good, you know, kind of probably doing a little more like what Arvel did. There's taller, longer body types. And then, you know, Peyton has been really good in the middle. Stove stepped up a lot. And you've had some guys have been nicked up. You miss a practice here and there, and it's tough to kind of stay in rhythm to be able to get, you know, keep playing and be able to do that. But it's going to be a fun room. And that's James, like, just trying to package them all together is what can be tough when you start looking at that.
Talk about Cortez Hankton, him coming in right for Heartline, and Heartline obviously just a tremendous job here at Columbus as the receiver coach. But now he comes
in. Call him the Conquistador, Rothman. Cortez.
That's right. But just his coaching style, getting to know him so far, like what's he been bringing
to
the table?
Good. He's been challenging those guys. Yeah. And like, I think there's a feeling that there's going to be more guys that play and play a lot. So if you're worthy of getting on the field, you're going to get out there. The one emphasis, he said, is like, I want to see our guys be able to run with the football. Like, you catch it, now go be a running back. Go make someone miss. Go run through somebody. And you fall in love. And maybe part of that is maybe getting some more short and intermediate routes in there where you can catch and run with it. And we fall in love with, you know, Carnell and JJ. And like, first round guys go over the top. Well, you know what? If you catch it for 10 and run for 30, it's the same as catching it for 430 and running for 10. I mean, it's all, the yards are all the same.
Yeah. Jeremiah mentioned that he, like, one element that the offense was missing last year was that the yak. He kind of threw out the comment that they thought maybe they were one of the worst in the country. But you're right. You're talking about, hey, yeah, we want to be able to hit the home runs, but we can hit some singles and doubles, too, and be an effective offense, too.
Why does Baker Mayfield need to figure out his beef with Kevin Stefanski?
I saw that.
Why would Todd Bowles say that? Did he mean it as that they just have to settle the score on the field?
Like, just go out there, you and me.
I think that's what that means, not figure it out.
Well,
I think
he wants each other twice a year.
That's what I think he wants, maybe a natural ending to this feud, and it can only be solved on the field. I think that's probably where he's going with it.
Does he want those guys to sit down and have, I love that we got some static between two parties here. Like, I'm here for this. Like, when two coaches don't like each other or a quarterback and a head coach, I think it's fine. Like, I don't think they need to settle the score or become friends. Now, there's clearly some dislike from Baker's side.
I think he meant that now we get to settle it. He's in the division.
Okay, I like that then.
Yeah. Twice a year.
Yeah.
Our place, your place. By the way, you have hot sauce and raspberries.
Oh, yeah, because I'll eat a little, like, rotisserie chicken throughout. Okay, so get the protein, and that's what that's for.
Okay.
And the raspberries is for, you know, a little sugar rush, everyone. Natural sugar rush.
I'm with you. I just was looking at the raspberries and the hot sauce.
Snozberries.
Yeah. The Cholula chili garlic hot sauce.
Those two things don't go together.
No, not at all. Not at all. Not at all.
It's good.
All right. What else is on your mind?
I don't know, man. You know what I love is my journey with my guy, Bodie Wells, Jacob, if you will, on his journey through Westeros in Game of Thrones.
Phenomenal.
He's about halfway through season 3, so we've got some big events that are about to unfold for him. And I was just reading through the list, and now I send him these little things about stuff that I see it pop up in my feed. But I want to make sure that I was like, I need to know where you are because I don't want to give anything away. Because he's like, you know, Theon, you know, he got caught. Now he's held. They kind of escaped, but then they brought him back.
So he doesn't know who Reek is yet.
Oh, no. He hasn't even really been introduced to Ramsay. Like, he knows that, like, I know that's the guy we know, but he doesn't really know.
Oh,
he's still at the point where, you know, Joffrey's still in charge. Mm. And Marjorie are getting married.
Tyrells,
yeah. And it's, you know, he's like, he just shot the one girl with the crossbow. And I'm like, too much pain will spoil her pleasure, sir. My lord, or whatever.
I remember saying to both you guys that Theon was the comeback player of the year.
I told him, like, Theon, you'll go on a full trail. And Rothman has always called him the comeback player of the year.
He really was, though. He really was.
We Spaniards know the sickness of the heart can only be cured with gold.
Did we run our kiss cam scenario by you last week? Did you catch any of that?
We did.
Yeah.
We did.
I can't remember.
I heard
so many
Ian
people.
And Amber talking about it. Ian was talking about it that night that you guys brought up the day before I came in.
It was automatic. Everyone we've ever asked has said, you got to go.
Oh, I even asked Nicole Sheeran for 10TV. She was like, yeah. Like, she would just want the guy to just go in.
You know, we did it was a bit this morning. We brought up, I don't know how we even got to this. Someone said post. I go, Post Malone. I do the before and afters. It was like something post. And I go, something Post Malone, before and after. And then Thinoff brought up something about rappers and about, I don't even know how we got to this. And he referenced that he was black. And I'm like, I didn't say anything of Bodie. Bodie was like, hold on a second. Like, Post Malone is a white guy. And then so he played the game. He's like, well, how would I know that? He's like, well, because you can see him. And so Bodie played a game and pulled up. He had like different white rappers and thin out to see if they could, if he knew who they
like
were.
Like MGK and Jack Harlow.
Oh, I thought, no, I thought you meant you played clips for him and he had to say, no, is he white or is he
black? He held up pictures and he was like, it was a great little bit. Oh. Like, he put up Jack Harlow. It was zero chance that I've noticed who that guy is. Now he put up Eminem. I'm like, okay, you're going to get him. But it was really, really pretty fun. He put up Post Malone. No idea. Yeah. I don't know how we got, because Post Malone's a Cowboys fan. And that's, I don't know, we were with Bodie and Cowboys. Where, it was a great little deal.
Where were you both on whether it's just bad luck for Luka to hit game 64 and not be able to be eligible for MVP?
He also had a couple of games he had to sit for his technical allowance that's that he right. got as well.
I said it to Maddie.
I'm not knocking, I don't want to knock a guy though for the birth of his daughter, for missing games for that. That shouldn't be baked into this thing.
I'm not baking those in, but I will say this. He got 15 technicals in 64 games. That's about one every four games. If you told me that I was going to get like an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty for yelling at a ref or doing something nonsensical, I'm not talking like tough. And so one out of every four games, Matt, you have to admit, this is a lot.
I just completely disagree with this rule now. That
you know
it's
what?
Just,
then tell what guys it was, to quit sitting out.
What it was set up to do was to eliminate load management. We're now knocking guys for injuries.
I get that.
That I don't like.
I also
like.
Think it also eliminates short sample for being
But they're voting on it anyway, and that's what Bodie's argument was. He's like, people are voting on it. There's 100 people that vote. They should be able to determine if what's the difference between playing 50 and 65. Is that enough? I don't know.
But I like when you guys were talking about it, and Thidoff was like, you know, I'm hearing and – where are you hearing this? Oh, yeah. Off your television?
Yes.
Got people in the streets,
like,
man.
Totally. I'm hearing.
I call them.
When did you cover the Lakers?
I call them on it.
It was awesome.
Him and Wendy were texting the other day.
I'm hearing. All right, pal. Good to see you again.
Dom's looking for you. He was looking through the glass. He's ready for you.
All right, we're coming back with 2 minutes with our friend Adam Jardy. Are they really in on a big-time transfer point guard? We'll tell you next. Rothman
Benefits.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Finding the sweet spot between the over and the under. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
All right, so maybe the final layer of pressure and final just feel of the season with Michigan ending the drought for the Big Ten and being obviously Ohio State's biggest rival and climbing the mountain and planting the flag in basketball is something that will continue to keep the fires burning here in Columbus, hopefully. And this transitional year is going to be interesting because of the Devin Royal going into the portal and, of course, Bruce being gone and then the ascent of Bynum and Juni and what they can piece around it is going to be very interesting to see if they can truly keep taking a step because they do feel like they have a little bit of momentum in the program. But as we've talked about, this is year to year, depending on who you can get in the portal and who's sticking around. Our friend Adam Jardy, always on the inside covering this team for the Columbus Dispatch. He's with us now on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems Fangest Hotline. Adam, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. How are we doing today?
Pretty good. You know, this is one of those things that I look at Ohio State basketball and I want to believe that they took a step. I want to believe there's some momentum. And then Jake talked about retention being the top priority. And then Devin Royal hits the portal. But I kind of connect the dots in that I guess if they felt like they really wanted to invest in Devin Royal, a guy that's been in the program several years, going to be a senior, maybe thinking I'm entitled, this is going to be my turn now to reap the benefits. And they went the other way. Give me your thoughts on that.
Well, first thought is that it's a two-way street, and it's not just, hey, you know, we're moving in a certain direction, but also that player can also say, hey, I'm moving in a certain direction too. And so this isn't just a black and white, you know, one side says this and the other side goes with it. It kind of takes both sides there. This is something that was not a surprise and had been kind of percolating for a little while. And I think when you look at this roster as it, you know, there's not a whole lot of players on it right now, but you do look at who they know they will have next year. And I mean, we all saw what Amari Bynum did as the season went on. And I think we can all agree that that ceiling is pretty high and continues to get more enticing. And then you're bringing in a McDonald's All-American and the highest rated recruit in decades, you know, 10, 15 years for Ohio State and Anthony Thompson. Both those guys are going to play significant roles on this team next year. And so, from a production standpoint and a reliability standpoint, you know, they saw more from Amari Bynum as the season went on than Devin Royal. And I think Devin saw that as well.
You mentioned Anthony Thompson, you know, Adam, for the folks that aren't in the high school basketball world that just aren't into the rankings or the ratings or whatever you want to call it, talk about what you think or they think they're getting from him as a player and maybe the impact he could have right away.
Well, he's a future lottery pick. You know, he's a guy that this time next year we're going to be talking about where he'll be going in that category of the NBA draft. He's the highest rated recruit for Ohio State since Jared Sullinger. He's their first McDonald's All-American since D'Angelo Russell. You know, he's a guy that's going to come in and have an immediate impact. He is young for his you know, for his grade. He won't turn 18 until sometime during the season, but like, he's a guy that you know, one of the highest rated players come out of Ohio in some time, is going to have every opportunity to be a face of the program type of guy, and a guy who projects to be a one and done, who's going to have a significant role in whatever this team does next season.
Adam, are they, their needs are veteran point guard, big man, center type situation. Where are they on those two things, do you feel? I saw some news that they were already maybe swinging in the point guard area.
Yeah, I mean, they're early in the process at, you know, all those spots. I mean, you know, technically you can't really be recruiting these guys until today when the portal opened. So, you know, I do think like things will start to ramp up here in the next couple of days. You know, probably some visits before too much longer. The portal's only open for 2 weeks, and obviously you can commit sometime after that, you know, anytime after that. But, you know, it's going to be a really, really busy, frenetic couple of days here. Yes, they've made some early inroads with a couple of guys, and, you know, they're certainly assembling that list of who they're targeting. But, you know, when you talk about starting off with John Mobley Jr., Amari Bynum, and Anthony Thompson, yeah, you need a point guard that can help run things, and you need a guy who's going to come in and not just be a dude. Like, you want someone that's going to come in and get you buckets and help run things and be a high-level contributor. So that's, I think it's, certainly it's a starting point guard, starting center. I think we'd probably go 1A, 1B, point guard, center.
All right, so people don't know the portal departures right now: Devin Royal, Tayson Chapman, Gabe Cupps, and Colin White. What do you believe has been the increase in the financial piece of this? Jake has hinted that it's better, and how much do you feel like it is better?
It's hard to put an exact like qualifier on that, but it is better. And not only are they working with, you know, more money than they had to deal with last year, but they're working from a position of like knowing exactly how much they have to work with. I mean, as the season off season progressed last year, they were, you know, in a spot where they kind of thought they had maybe a certain amount of money, and then they were able to fundraise some more, and then they had a little bit extra, and then you'd fundraise some more, and it kind of came like, you know, in fits and spurts along the way. And so, you know, they're starting off from the get-go here in the portal from a position of knowing like what they have, how much they can spend, and like how far they can stretch it. And to that end as well, I don't expect this to be a team that, you know, there were 13 guys on the roster last year that were all, you know, getting, you know, were what we would consider non-walk-ons, because obviously the naming of all that stuff has changed. But there were essentially 13 guys last year that were being paid to play at Ohio State, and I would expect that number to be smaller this year. So you're going to have more money to spend, and I would expect them to use it on a fewer number of players, so you have higher overall depth in your rotation.
Yeah, and it's interesting, right? Because we were talking earlier, Adam, just about, you know, Dusty May and Michigan and how they just really fast-tracked this thing and obviously winning a national championship is what every program wants to accomplish, but it's the hit rate, too. And I know for a lot of Buckeye fans, that's going to be maybe where some of the angst is right now. And while, yes, they can hear you say they've got the money to do that, hit us with your thoughts on, like, their ability to identify the talent and develop it when they come through the portal.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be tested at the highest degree that it's been tested. And I think that's going to be one of the biggest things that will determine, you know, what this season becomes and where this team goes, because they can't afford to miss in the portal. I mean, it's been a little interesting the last couple of years where, you know, like last year trying to recruit a backup guard to come in and play behind Bruce Thornton and John Mobley, like, that's probably as hard as anything in the transfer portal, because like you're trying to, you know, convince somebody to come in and you're going to play 8 to 12 minutes a game as a backup, and we don't really need you to do a whole lot, just kind of hold the fort. They've got clear opportunity. that they can sell guys on right now. And so there should not be a shortage of, you know, high level candidates that would be interested in Ohio State. And to your point earlier about like the program needing to continue taking steps, like the fact that they did make the tournament and there's a little bit of proof of progress, I think that stuff helps as well. So they just enter this offseason in a better spot, and now they have to take advantage of those opportunities and certainly get players who are going to be more high-level impact guys in the portal, and be they can't afford to miss on those in the ways that maybe they've missed on some of the backup guys and stuff they've signed the last few years.
But on paper, you feel like they have the ability this time around to swing a little higher.
I do, yes. Yeah, I think that's probably a fair way to put it, because like I said, they're not going to be paying, they're going to have more money than they had last year. And I think instead of spending that on 13 guys, they're maybe spending it on like 11. And so that should theoretically open you up to more opportunities to attract higher level talent. Plus you can promise clear paths to playing time. You know, you go out there and you find that guard that you really want. You say, listen, like John Mobley Jr., Amari Bynum, and Anthony Thompson are all likely NBA type players, at least fringe NBA players. Hey, come run the ship with those guys. Like let's really get this thing rolling, and you can be a critical part of that. Like that's really attractive for a sales pitch out there. So I do think, yes, they're in a much better spot to try to attract and hopefully land some of that talent that they haven't been able to get to this point.
Yeah, they're definitely looking at reallocating some stuff now and trying to piece it together again and build off the momentum that they got this year. Adam, great job, man. Season's in the books. We appreciate you. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, guys. Have a great one.
You too. Adam Jardy, Columbus Dispatch, on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. You start looking at replacing roughly half this roster, but they've got the big player coming in. They've got a couple of key pieces with Juni and Bynum, and they just feel like if they can hit this year and if they can swing bigger on paper, then you have a better chance of the success rate panning out.
No question, AR. And I like what Adam was saying about you can sell these guys on opportunity with playing time. But I also think, too, when you have a guy like Thompson who is supposed to be, like Adam said, in the minds of some, maybe a lottery pick, that gets a lot of eyeballs, obviously, on him, but the program, too. And if you're a player, you're looking at him and saying, man, I want to run with him as not only a teammate, but I want these scouts and everybody to see what I can do as well. So that's part of, I think, some of the attraction you can sell for your program, too.
We're coming back with Tell the Truth, Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
The only workplace in America to participate in the doorknob fart game. And we also play office basketball and sometimes do radio. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Common Man here for you.
We, The Fan, have created a show where you can be a homer, a hater, or whatever you want to be. Sunday mornings at 8.
It's The Fan Call-In Show, presented by The Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and 32-ounce Yingling drafts for only $4. Tell the Truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by McDaniel GM Superstore. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
All right, TLC, take us home, my man.
All right, we can update the results from yesterday's poll mid-show. We asked the people, are you rooting for Michigan to win the national championship tonight to put pressure on Ohio State to take a big step this offseason? So the question, were you rooting for Michigan to win the championship? The options were yes or no.
No had to be overwhelming. Because there's no real specific evidence. There's no science that would tell you that if this happens, this is going to happen. And there's no way any Buckeye fan was going to be actively rooting for Michigan.
No chance.
No matter what potential positive could maybe come out of it.
I'm going 90-10, though. And I may be low.
Yeah, I'm in that area, too. I'm
95-5?
That's right.
Okay.
Is that your final guess, 95-5?
That's right.
Well, he talked you into his own victory.
Oh.
I see what you did there.
I really didn't try to fool my guy with any trickery. I didn't even know we were competing. I think I thought we were just going in together. It's like a tag team right there.
Yeah, just A leading question. Hey, are you going with 95.5? Well, sure. Well, when it's 83-17,
you know what?
The 90-10 will win.
I had to get you guys back for what you guys did to me yesterday with one. So
what did we do to you yesterday?
You guys were just taking victory lap after victory lap, naming Achilles injuries, saying that you guys would rather have him stop and go all year than completely out.
That's true.
See?
I do wish that.
Your team needed to be slowed down a little bit. You were out of the gate pretty fast.
Oh, man.
I do wish that Juan Soto, who is currently suffering a 2 to 3 week injury, hops off of the 10-day IL and hops right back on because it's going to be the 3 weeks instead of the two. And then afterwards, I hope he has a rehab stint in Syracuse.
Okay.
And so those home runs don't transfer, by the way. You don't get minor league.
Oh, minor league.
No. You don't get minor league rehab.
That
would have
been
stint.
A nice loophole, man.
Yeah, you don't get those.
Okay, that's fair.
Those don't carry over to your major league total.
I can't push back on that.
So we're not counting those. But it was 83-17 were the results of the poll. 83% saying no, they were not rooting for Michigan, despite the hypothetical pressure it could put on the Buckeye basketball program.
All I'm hoping is that the 17% that said they were also the same 17% that potentially didn't want Ohio State making the NCAA tournament for the very same reason, that it would keep applying pressure.
By the way, on this topic, have we already talked about the do not contact tag that Devin Royal entered with?
Oh, because he knows where he's going?
Yeah.
And there's what, UConn buzz out there?
That is the estimation.
Interesting.
With apparently, according to Google AI Overview, with reports predicting a move to UConn or potentially Villanova.
Okay.
But UConn is that's the scuttlebutt on the internet. So, Devin Royal.
So Hurley sees
going
something
to the national
he can work
championship
with.
Next year.
Mm-hmm. Be an interesting fit for him.
If he knows, he knows. And so you probably want to put the do not contact on. I'd be one of those that like, hey, I don't know what I don't know. Maybe you come to the table something better. Keep the lines open.
That just, again, and we all know this, the amount of tampering that goes on in sports is just pretty wild. I don't really get caught up in it too much as far as me feeling like it's the worst thing. But it just entered the portal. He's got the tag already, which means there was some business going on behind the scenes, probably for, I don't know, the last few weeks, I would think, with him and whoever is leading the charge outside of himself behind the scenes as far as where he wants to go, right? Because you got to make the connection with these coaches and all of that, and they're feeling interest in you and yada, yada, yada. Tampering's a real thing.
Yeah, well, listen, the truth is for these guys, they either know where they want to go or they know where they're already going. And those two things both equal a do not contact. Don't call me. I'll call you. I know I have my list. I'll make contact. You don't have to come find me.
I think some of it, too, is the program making contact with these players as well.
But the player is the one that's put the do not contact on.
No, I know, but I think
there's
to get
an
to
NIL
that point.
Bonus. Like there's almost like a do not contact bonus, like, hey, you know, we'll give you, I'll just throw out random numbers that have nothing to do with anything. We'll give you $700,000, but if you go in, do not contact, and don't entertain any other offers, we'll go $750,000.
Mm-hmm. I think that'd be smart business.
Perhaps.
I think it'd be smart.
Well, like I'm putting a deposit on the player.
Just say, take yourself off the
map. A refundable deposit.
Take yourself off the waiver wire. Here's an extra $50,000 or $100,000 or whatever it may be.
So a kid tells a school.
It's like in Shark Tank when they say you have to take this offer expires in 5 seconds.
Yeah. That's
awful. Yeah, and then they pull it.
Yeah, like, that's miserable, by the way.
When they go back to the other person. Sometimes it's called just negotiating good faith. And on Shark Tank, if they're waiting to get a better offer or they're talking to this person. But that's the whole idea of it, that they have that one time.
I could never get into that show. How many seasons of that did they cook up?
Oh, my gosh. Still going, I think.
Okay. Okay, yeah, I could never get in.
I'm going to guess 17.
They bring in new sharks. They're not all.
Cuban's not on there? Is he on
there? No, I'm sure he is, but maybe not on every episode.
I think he backed off a little bit in recent years. But, I mean, he had like a decade-plus run.
Yeah.
But let me throw this at you, too, because I thought this was fun. Can lightning strike 24 times Let's ask Wilson Contreras. So the now Red Sox first baseman who began his career with the Chicago Cubs and then transitioned to another NL Central team, the St. Louis Cardinals. When you're in the division with multiple teams, you play the Milwaukee Brewers a lot. And so now playing the Milwaukee Brewers as a Red Sox, he gets plunked for the 24th time by the Brewers in his career and now sixth time specifically by Brandon Woodruff, and he has had enough.
It's not just a hit by pitch. That's the 24th time that they hit me in my career, 24th. And that's the sixth time they hit me. And they always say, I'm not trying to hit you. That get old. So next time they hit me again, I'm going to take one of them out. That's what happened. That's a message. That's a message.
I have an important question at the presser for
that
him.
That get old.
How is he going to take one of them out?
And who?
His brother?
Yeah, I'm about to say.
His brother's the catcher for the Brewers.
If you think the catcher is calling it up and in, turn around to your brother and say, knock it off.
All right, so this could be a coincidence. Not maybe the coincidence is the wrong word. This could be strategic, and not that they're trying to hit him, but they know that he's more susceptible to up and in like a lot of hitters are, but him more than most. Because they look at barrel percentage and whiff percentage and all the analytics that go into baseball now, expected batting average and all that. And so I think they're erring in an area that certainly if they miss their target by an inch or two, that they could hit him. I think that's it. I think he's
more... 24 times and six in a row by the same guy.
You've been hit by lightning six times. 66 times.
Back to the Future.
No.
I don't know. Willy Wonka.
Nope.
I don't know. TLC, this is your thing.
I don't think you're going to get this one. But it was from the 80th.
Well, there goes my guess. I was going to say double jeopardy.
I'm actually hoping, though, that they do hit him again today. Because I want to just see all hell break loose.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to see.
If you're going to talk tough, because now the pressure, not that, that's a Friday segment, but now the pressure is on Wilson Contreras because now you've said this.
I'm going to take one of them out.
If you get hit, if you're going to talk tough.
Back it up.
What was the exact quote, Matty?
He said, if I get hit again, I'm going to take one of their guys or take somebody out.
Then he said, that's a message.
That's a message. And so we shall see. That's true for today. Hey, before we go, you miss anything from our show, you can always catch up wherever you get your podcast. Just type in Rothman and Ice. Everything we do, we'll be waiting there for you. Subscribe to the pod as well. Common Man and Timmy coming up next. Common Man is back, so do not move.
All right, we will talk to you tomorrow at high noon. We appreciate you listening. Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
Catch T-Bone and Tyvus weekday mornings from 6 to 9. If you're not completely satisfied, we'll rewind time and erase your brain. For real.